Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Some conservative commentators are calling it Joe Biden's Watergate. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says Operation Arctic Frost was a massive Biden Justice Department spy operation surveilling the activities of a host of conservative organizations. Also, cell phone records were subpoenaed. Grassley says it was, his words, the vehicle by which FBI agents and DOJ prosecutors could improperly investigate the entire Republican political apparatus. President Trump returns home from Asia with pledges of $1 trillion worth of investments in the U.S., one of the high watermarks of his overseas tour.
President Donald Trump has met face-to-face with the Chinese leader Xi Jinping in South Korea on the final day of Trump's Asia trip. The two leaders met at an air base in the city of Busan and spoke for 1 hour and 40 minutes. This was a chance for both sides to stabilize relations after some rocky months.
Correspondent Tian McLeod G says Beijing agrees to buy American soybeans, loosen restrictions on rare earth exports, and deal with fentanyl. In return, Mr. Trump will reduce tariffs on Chinese goods. A federal appeals court strikes down a lower judge's attempt to rein in the Border Patrol in Chicago.
On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Sarah Ellis ordered U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Chief Patrol Agent Gregory Bovino to give her daily briefings on immigration operations being conducted in Chicago. An unprecedented bid to impose real-time oversight on the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. But before Bovino's first meeting with Ellis Wednesday, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals stepped in and blocked her order. The Department of Homeland Security called Ellis's order judicial overreach. The sweeps have resulted in more than 1,800 arrests. I'm Ben Thomas.
Dow futures are down 163 points. NASDAQ futures off 152. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Every day, I speak with people who are worried and are feeling a lot of pressure because of credit card debt. That's why I'm very proud of what we do at Trinity. We just help. We give people the support they need, along with a real plan to become debt-free. Credit card bills are consolidated into a single monthly payment that is much less than what they were paying before. Most of our members end up saving thousands and even may improve their credit scores by as much as 200 points. I know from the bottom of my heart that I'm making a difference in the lives of the people we help. It just makes me really happy.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Julie, and I'm a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Maryland travelers are among those stranded in Jamaica after Hurricane Melissa tore across the island with winds topping 185 miles per hour. The Category 5 storm knocked out power to most of the country and damaged major resorts, forcing flight cancellations and airport closures. Officials say about 25,000 tourists remain on the island as crews work to restore power and clear runways. Relief flights are expected to begin later this week as Jamaica continues recovery efforts. The Baltimore Museum of Art will open Amy Sherrill American Sublime on Saturday after the artist canceled its planned debut at the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery over censorship concerns. The exhibition features nearly 40 works, including Sherrill's portraits of Michelle Obama and Breonna Taylor, and highlights her evolution as an artist. Many of the paintings center on Baltimore residents, reflecting the city where Sherrill's career began. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 weather forecast next.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. For years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. Now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. During fall weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather is changing, and now's the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling today. 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404. 410-876-9404 or timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Game 2 of the Ravens' resurrection tonight in Miami. Another chance for Baltimore to determine if the revival is authentic or a mirage. 2 games in 5 days, tough on any team, especially the one that travels. Linebacker Roquan Smith asked how you manage it.
I think it's an attitude from the day that you finish the game on Sunday all the way up until Thursday. Yeah, some people are going to be more hurt than others, but everyone is feeling something, so it's about coming out, being the most physical team.
Baltimore, as healthy a team as they've been all season. A walkthrough yesterday before departing, full team participation. Game 5 of the World Series last night, and the Blue Jays did something never done before in Fall Classic history.
Here he comes, and off we go in Game 5 with a fastball that's hit in the air to deep left field, call to the track. It's a home run on the first pitch of Game 5. Now Vlad Jr. hooks a ball down the left field line. They've got back-to-back to start Game 5.
Joe Davis had the calls on Fox. Davis Schneider and Vladdy Jr. go back-to-back to start Game 5, first time in series history, as the Blue Jays now in firm command of this one, 6-1 the final last night for a 3-2 series lead. Coming up in 30 minutes, more changes on the way to the Orioles coaching staff. And that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for a fun, family-friendly day out? Visit the Pennsylvania Dutch Market in Cockeysville, your one-stop destination for authentic Amish food, friendly faces, and over 20 stalls filled with handcrafted goods. Enjoy fresh flowers, fruits, veggies, and the best seafood and meats around, plus sweet treats baked fresh daily. The smell will draw you in, and the experience will keep you coming back. Open Thursday and Friday 9 to 6 and Saturday 8 to 4. The Pennsylvania Dutch Market. So much to see, smell, and savor.
At 9:07, here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are weather alert today as heavy rain, gusty winds, and even strong to severe storms capable of tornadoes move through the region. Otherwise, weirdly warm with highs in the upper 60s. Tonight turns drier and colder as lows dip back into the mid-40s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
58 degrees in Westminster, 53 in Easton, and 59 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Thursday. Yes, Friday Eve. Here in the Baltimore region, it is a very wet day. I guess if you're in Jamaica, it's a wet day there too. And look, I'm not laughing at all, because obviously there's already been some reported fatalities in Jamaica because of Hurricane Melissa. We're going to send our prayers their way. Sounds like it is quite a mess, quite a mess. I did want to talk a lot about some local topics today, but we're also going to talk about some national topics. You know, when I found out about everything going on with, as they call it, Arctic Frost and Jack Smith and all of these Republicans they decided to spy on, it's just, you're looking at this situation thinking, wow, the projection was at an all-time high, wasn't it? They kept saying that Republicans were doing dirty things behind the scenes. Republicans are doing this. Republicans are that. Republicans are a threat to democracy. Meanwhile, it was all projection. Democrats were doing all of those things that they accused Republicans and President Trump of doing. And it really is. It grates your nerves. But at the same time, I hope people are held accountable. So in the 11 o'clock hour, we are going to talk about Arctic Frost. At 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by Matt Koster. He is the president of the Baltimore City Fire Union 734. He was recently on Fox 45 and basically talking about, you know what, I guess last week we saw it first on social media. They made a post talking about being understaffed and overworked. And in this post, it was an interesting post because, you know, when you're thinking about whether it's union presidents or, you know, firefighters in general or first responders, usually, quite usually, you know, they might put out a statement, but you don't really see oftentimes just how frustrated they are. But I think with the social media post we saw last week, and I'll read it again before we're joined by Matt Koster, by the way, you can see the frustration. You can see the frustration as you're reading it. And you're thinking, wow, this has been going on for quite some time. They've been talking about the recruiting efforts being low. They've been talking about, you know, apparatus. They've been talking about the asbestos and the firehouses. They've been talking about all these things for years. Why isn't this taken care of? I just don't know. Now, there could be a situation where you're just not having a lot of young people wanting to be a first responder. I think the police, they're feeling that as well. But at the same time, and I think I mentioned this before, I have a friend, Nick Tyson. We grew up together, literally grew up together in Accokeek. We've been friends since the third grade. And as I was running my nonprofit in Baltimore City, Potential Me, as I told you guys before, we were in some of the suspension centers. We would go see some of the kids that were, you know, kind of in and out of getting in trouble, I guess you could say. And so I remember when Nick Tyson would come to the Baltimore City schools that even I was there teaching as well, and he would come in and they would talk about, you know, what it meant to join the fire department. And you saw a lot of kids, their eyes and ears perked up. He told them, hey, look, you know, I've got this great deal on my house. These are some of the material items I know kids care about. Here's some of the things that I was able to purchase, right? Like his car, things like that. And so, you know, you saw a lot of kids. And I think it was really great that they did that. And I don't know if they continue to do that. I'll ask Matt Koster when he gets here, or when we get him on the line, I should say. But, you know, when they did that, I thought to myself, I said, okay, well, here's a great way to really get these kids thinking about their future. As we talked about before, not everybody's going off to college. Okay, that ship has sailed. I'm glad they're not selling that pipe dream anymore. I was one of those kids where I'm looking at my parents like, I know you don't expect me to go to college. I know you're not looking at me that way, right? He's like I told you, my older brother's a chemical engineer. So there was a lot of pressure. But I was always just totally different. And I just, you know, even now, you guys don't know this, Brian, the producer knows this, but even here when I'm speaking to you on the show, my mind wanders so much. I've got to do word searches as I'm doing the show. I'm telling you, I have a hard time focusing. I guess they call it nowadays ADHD. You know, when I was a kid, they would just beat your behind, right? It was like, you got to spank it if you couldn't get your act together. But, you know, so I knew that I was not going to go to college. It just was not for me. And I like the fact that they're now telling young people, look, there are other options. Here's what else you can do. Here's what you can get involved in. And so I love that. I love that. So I will ask Matt Koster at 10 o'clock whether or not they're still recruiting from the high schools, the local colleges. I hope that they are. Because I thought that did make a difference. And I think sometimes kids just need to know what's out there, right? You need to know what's out there. Well, anyways, we are going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the beef. Yes, the beef in Annapolis. It's not between Democrats and Republicans. This is spicy. It's spicy. Yes, Governor Wes Moore and Senator Bill Ferguson and even Speaker Adrian Jones has entered the ring, right? There's like a little tag team now going on. You know, Governor Moore and Speaker Adrian Jones believe that the redistricting should still happen. We were here in studio talking to Delegate Nino Mangione yesterday, and we thought it was all said and done. Because Senator Bill Ferguson came out and he said, look, the redistricting doesn't make any sense. It's not something that I think we want to get into. And we thought, boom, it's a done deal. End of story. Not the end of the story. No. Governor Wes Moore, look, he's for him to continue to say that he's not running in 2028 is just, it really is insulting at this point. But why else would he have to jump into this redistricting controversy? Even if you were to try to get Andy Harris out of his seat, you would only pick up one seat. Just one. Do you think, Governor Moore, they're going to be, you know, hailing you as this all-time champion? You saved the party. You're saving. You know, now you're going to flip the house over your one seat here in Maryland? No. You probably won't even get a call back. You won't even get a text. You'll be left on red by the DNC. They don't care about the one seat. So why are you pushing this so hard? Just so you can enter the fight? Because you feel like you have to take on your arch nemesis, Gavin Newsom, in California? This is ridiculous. I'm on team. Obviously, I agree with Senator Bill Ferguson. It doesn't make any sense for the Democrat Party here in Maryland. It makes no sense. So we are going to talk about that. But I want to first get into this big viral story. The viral story. I woke up this morning and I was like, huh, what's going on today? You know, got the show planned in my mind. Got some things on. I think I know I want to talk about. And then I open up my ex page, Twitter is what they call it now. Oh, no, Twitter, call it X now. I hate X, by the way. I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but I hate the fact that it's called X. Anyway, so I open up my page, and of course I've got these direct messages, my DMs. I'm getting tagged on this video constantly, and I'm like, what is this? What the heck is this? So I look at the video, and then I see this Baltimore police patrol vehicle. I see a Baltimore police officer standing outside of his vehicle. And I see that he's talking to two gentlemen in Baltimore City. We're going to go to the audio here from Channel 11 and then we'll discuss.
That video now has over 200,000 views on social media showing a Baltimore police officer chasing down a man in his police cruiser. I also spoke with the man who was chased by that officer over the phone. He tells me he learned after this incident today that this was all due to a warrant for him failing to appear in court for driving without a license.
A Baltimore police officer caught on camera trying to run a man down.
Like, automatic, full speed, try to hit him and all that. So my man started running. He's running for his life now. He ain't gonna stop. He trying to hit him with a car.
Slick Brown is the man behind the camera capturing these chilling moments of a Baltimore police officer chasing a man in his police cruiser in Baltimore's Park Heights neighborhood. Slick says the officer asked him and his friends to move while they were hanging out on Wiley Avenue around 5 o'clock Tuesday evening.
It's getting a little hot. I need
you guys to take a lap. So first he pulled up for real. He told us walk off. So we was walking off. Then he pulled back up with my man. He told him come here. He told him come here for no reason. So then my man said no. So he kept walking for real. So he walked through the alley. As soon as he walked through the alley, he hopped back in the car. He started chasing him.
The chase goes on for over a minute, even showing the officer crashing through a fence into a nearby yard off of Park Heights Avenue. Police Commissioner Richard Worley calling the video disturbing and alarming, saying in part, this is not how we expect our officers to behave, and this incident does not reflect the values or standards of the Baltimore Police Department. Mayor Brandon Scott also weighing in with, quote, the contents of the video are deeply concerning. The officer in question has been suspended and the situation is under investigation.
He's a good man. Like, he could have lost his life in that situation. That's all I'm saying. I'm just happy that video got seen by people like you and other people in the world.
And a lot of people seeing that video tonight. Now, the police department says their internal affairs, they're looking into this incident, reviewing the body worn cameras that officer was wearing. Again, his police powers have been suspended. As for the man who was being chased, he tells me he was hit by that cruiser at some point, and he does have a banged up knee tonight. Tor Yorgi, TV 11 News.
All right, Channel 11. If you want to weigh in on this, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. All right, so this, just so you know, watching the video itself, it's hard to get a good grasp on what transpired, okay? Now, there were many people on social media pointing out that they felt as though that the video had been spliced, which means it had been edited at one point in time. I could see how it might have been edited because there was one part where the cop goes, you know, he's charging, you know, towards the guy. And then all of a sudden he turns the car around. The guy that is chasing, he's still running. He ends up going running around the street. The patrol vehicle, he's got to get back on the road. Just so you know, there was a point where he left the road. He gets back on the road and then he's got to go around other motorists. So immediately that was my concern. So you've got people honking their horns, okay? And they're sitting at a light. So all of this is going on now, and now it's, you know, he charged him while he was in like a grassy area. I guess it was a vacant home that was demolished there. He charged him when he was in that area. But then now you see it where the police officer's on the road, the guy's running down the street, but now you got all these motorists that are sitting there in harm's way. So anyways, luckily, from what I could tell, none of those cars were hit. The police officer was able to maneuver around, go back around the vehicle sitting at the light, and now they're in some back alley where he's chasing the guy again, okay, with the patrol car. The police officer then, he crashes his car, okay? He crashes his car at the end of the alley into some, it looks like a fence. There was a gate in front of a house there. And then he gets out of his patrol car, and you can see that he's trying to call someone, but the gentleman that was running, he had already gotten away. It is very confusing. When I say that I can see where it was edited, it's because when the car goes back, the patrol car goes back around into that alley, the guy, I guess his name is Slick Brown is what they said. Slick is the one with the phone, cell phone, okay? He has to go then run chasing the patrol car himself, and he runs into the alley, and you could tell where it was spliced. The video was edited at that point because he didn't show where he was running, you know, across a couple row homes, and then he hit the phone. You could see it picking back up right there at the alley. Okay, so I could see where it was edited there. Now, there are people that edit videos for a living, and they might could see where this was spliced in other areas, and I just don't know. I think in this situation, obviously the body-worn camera is important, but I would say the most important, I know Channel 11 mentioned that, I think the most important is the dash cam in the patrol car. That's the video I want to see. Because when the police officer gets into the grassy area and he's trying to run this guy down, I mean, he really, this is must be when he hit his knee onto on the car and got his knee banged up. I thought he hit him for sure. And so, you know, the guy was able to get away, but man, it was a very interesting video. Very interesting. But like I said, you don't know exactly what transpired because you don't know if this video is in its entirety or it's been edited. We don't know. I thought it was interesting. Police Commissioner Worley, this is what I hated about Police Commissioner Harrison. I think I mentioned this a couple times. They immediately go with the side of, like, I guess social media, right? Where social media stands. I don't like this. You know, for me, even if your officer is wrong, and I could be totally wrong on this, if I'm the police commissioner and I'm looking at a cell phone video and I see where it was edited at least once, right? I would say, you know, just so everyone knows, the officer has been suspended and we are trying to determine what transpired. That's my statement. Police Commissioner Worley says, oh, this is disturbing. He's been suspended. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's trying to appease the masses. Like, no. You're the police commissioner, and this is one of your officers. And we've seen before when an officer was set up. I'm not saying that's what happened here. But what I'm saying is, why not get to the bottom of the story before you just throw your officer under the bus? We've seen this a couple times before with Commissioner Harrison. And I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, where's the brotherhood on that one? I'm like, wait a minute. So anyways, so now you have the situation where this officer has been suspended. They are, you know, investigating it. Of course, Mayor Brandon Scott, he put his 2 cents into it. Mayor Brandon Scott did not comment on the safe street worker, I should say, that's gone AWOL. Remember the guy that was supposed to show up for court for the felony drug charges? Yeah, he's still out there somewhere. He didn't have a statement for that. He has a statement for this video with the police officer, though. Interesting, right? If you want to weigh in, you can, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. When we get back, I'll go straight to the phone lines. It looks like I also have some people wanting to weigh in, rightfully so, on the text line as well. So if you want to text in, you can, and you can do that right through the app. If you haven't already, download the app. It is in the App Store. We'll get right to that when we get back. Real quick, before you go, I want to tell you about Rescue Natural Supplements. And if you want to take advantage of their huge Black Friday savings, you can do so all month long. We're talking discounts up to 80% off on high-quality, carefully crafted natural formulas for just about all of your health and wellness needs. For over 40 years now, Rescue has used clinically tested vitamins, nutrients, antioxidants, and patented ingredients to perfect their all-natural supplement blends. And right now,
You can grab exactly what you need at an all-time high discount. From immunity boosters and blood pressure health to natural brain focus and energy enhancers, you're going to get slash prices up to 80% off on Rescue's wide array of wellness products, like trusted cholesterol support supplements or high-intensity omega-3s. Stop waiting to improve your well-being and get these limited-time deals at res-q.com, or you can call a Rescue product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. Again, that's 1-800-262-5483, or go online at res-q.com.
Listen up, homeowners. If you need more space, don't move, improve. Sean Casey here for AES Builders and Home Improvement. Not only are you saving money, but you're adding extra value in your home with a home addition that'll blend perfectly with your existing space. Whether it's a sunroom or expanded living space, AES brings the vision and craftsmanship to make it happen on time and on budget. Build smarter. Visit AESHome.us. That's AESHome.us, and tell them I sent you to get a special discount on any new addition. AES, experience, integrity, results.
If you're not happy, we're not done. MHIC 37105.
Planning your upcoming wedding or special event? Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills will create a menu for your special event and create a room block for your out-of-town guest. Enjoy their indoor pool and fitness center. Wake up to a delicious cup of coffee and made-to-order breakfast at the grill. Reach out to Lori Ruby in the sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call 410-654-0030. You can always count on Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
The Sean Hannity Show.
We have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news.
They are the ones that peddled the phony news. The irony of all of it is none of these people have come to the realization yet that legacy media died. And it is dead, it is gone, it is buried.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're talking about the viral video. That's right, it is viral. I told you this morning I was tagged on X multiple times by people that live nowhere near Baltimore City. And it's a police officer chasing a gentleman down with his car. Apparently, this guy did have a warrant because he did miss a court date, but it was for a suspended license. And I thought it was interesting because at the end of the report there with Channel 11, it didn't sound like he turned himself in. It didn't sound like he was arrested either. I guess he has a banged up knee, so he'll get to, you know, court when he can. I don't know. This is why I say, man, Baltimore is so, and I hate saying it, but it's true. It's so ghetto. Everything is ghetto. Like the way that this entire city is handled is ghetto. Okay. And nobody can even deny that at this point. You got a police officer chasing a guy down with the patrol car. He doesn't care. He almost hits other motorists. He doesn't care. Like, this is literally, quite literally, The Wire. Every day is a different episode. It's insanity. I got Mark in Baltimore. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Yes, good morning, Shalom. First of all, go Ravens in the big game tonight.
Absolutely.
In Miami against the Dolphins. Okay, here's a question. When the officer was first pursuing the suspect in the car on Fort, did the officer radio in for help, for backup? Was he given instructions on what to do in the situation? Did he have call communication at all with headquarters and all that? Do you all have copies? If he did, do you all have copies of the tapes and from the voice footage from the contact with police as he was pursuing the suspect? Or what do you know about that?
Yeah, so when you watch the video, Mark, kids, you can see that the guy, they're speaking, the patrol officer's outside of his patrol car, and he's speaking to the guy. The guy then starts to walk away. And so that's when the officer gets in his car. The guy then starts to walk even faster away. And then the officer takes off in the car and barrels towards the guy in like a grassy field. And that's where I guess he actually did hit him because of the bruise, or I guess, or the swelling he has on his knee. But then the chase continues from there. Had that guy not moved or ran, I would suspect he most likely would have been hit by the car.
Okay, I understand. But was there communication between the police
No sign of that. But see, this is the part where we just don't know because, like I said, you don't know if this has been edited. This is a cell phone video from the friend of the guy that was chased down. And some people online believe that it's been edited. I can't tell because I just, you know, that's not my wheelhouse. So I'm not certain.
All right, well, keep up the good work. Wish you shalom. Go Ravens tonight.
All right, same. Thank you. Have a great one. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the video was spliced there. I wouldn't know. Of course, these are just people that are weighing in. If you want to weigh in yourself, you can. 410-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. As I mentioned before, we're going to have to get the dash cam video on this. That's what's going to tell us much more, or even the body camera on the officer. You got to learn more there. I do have a text here from Marty. Marty says, the 300-pound cop had no interest in a foot chase. Was this a guy who manned a desk and was forced back on the streets for staffing shortage? Marty, that's a good question. I don't actually know. We don't have any of those details yet. I would say... Now, I don't know if this guy was 300 pounds. that was... Marty. Look, I don't know if this guy was 300 pounds. But you can tell that there was no way he was going to chase this guy down. Now, do they usually chase some people down for a warrant for, you know, suspended license, missing court? I don't know. You know, I don't have the answers to this. I guess I was just frustrated when I heard Police Commissioner Worley saying how upset he was. I don't know. I felt that was a bad call. We'll discuss when we get back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump wrapped up his Asia trip with a much-anticipated meeting with Chinese President Xi in South Korea. President Trump agreeing to reduce tariffs on China. Beijing agrees to allow the export of rare earth minerals and to start buying American soybeans. Looking at what some other countries, including adversaries, are doing, President Trump has ordered the Pentagon to resume nuclear weapons testing. Jamaica is reeling in the wake of Hurricane Melissa. The storm killed at least 34 people across the Caribbean. It is the 30th day of October and the 30th day of the government shutdown, and there's no end in sight. With the arrests of five more people, a total of seven are now being held in connection with the crown jewel heist at the Louvre in Paris. Those gems have not been recovered. Wall Street stocks opening lower this morning. More details, SRN News.
Hello, I'm Italo Liberatore, owner and operator of Liberatore's Ristorante of Bel Air. We are proud and thankful for being selected by the Baltimore Sun as the best Italian restaurant and the best caterer in the area. We are grateful for your support and pledge to continue to strive to meet your every need. Liberatore's Ristorante is a family-owned restaurant where we treat our customers as family. Great food, great service, great ambiance. Come and join our family. For the best food in the area, visit Liberatore's.com.
Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville offers high-end luxury and quality at very affordable prices. Their beautiful showroom in Jarrettsville is a great place to shop and pick the one that's just right for you. You'll get quality appliances backed by the very best installation and service. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Thursday night football tonight in Miami, and after a three-game absence, Lamar will be back under center. A homecoming for Jackson, who grew up about 25 miles from Hard Rock Stadium. You'd think he'd be excited.
It's not about Miami, me going down to Florida and playing. It's about any Sunday, any Thursday, you know, any Monday. It really don't matter. I just want to play football and have fun and get a win.
Ravens had full participation in light practice these last 2 days and remain a 7.5-point favorite going in. Game 5 of the World Series last night, an historic performance for Blue Jays rookie pitcher Treya Savage, who started the season in single-A ball and ended it, at least for the moment, on the mound last night in L.A., striking out a World Series rookie record 12 batters in 7 innings as the Jays take firm control of the Fall Classic. 6-1 was the final. Savage breaks the record of 11 strikeouts set by Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher Don Newcomb in 1949 and acknowledged after the game what a story this is.
Crazy world. Hollywood couldn't have made it this good. So just being a part of this, I'm just very blessed.
Meanwhile, in the Dodgers clubhouse, manager Dave Roberts.
Guys have got to do their jobs. Everyone's got to do their job. And so right now, we're at elimination, and we've got to kind of wipe the slate clean and find a way to win Game 6.
Travel day today, Game 6 tomorrow night, north of the border, 3-2 series lead for the Jays. Orioles news, manager Craig Albernaz building his coaching staff the way that he sees fit. Sources telling the Banner that interim manager Tony Mancelino will not be retained in any capacity, and first base coach Anthony Sanders has been given permission to seek employment elsewhere. Coming up in 30 minutes, it'll be a tough putt this weekend for Maryland football. And that is Stein on Sports. How do you get ready for the change of seasons? Well, it's easy. Call my guys, the comfort guys that I trust, Farnan and Dermer. These folks have been keeping homes warm since 1902. You need same-day heating repair or a full system replacement? They've got you covered. 0% financing for 60 months and rebates up to $7,000 off select systems. Tell them Gary told you to call and get a $99 tune-up with no breakdown guarantee. Call 410-367-7777. That's the comfort guys that you can trust.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are tracking heavy rain, gusty winds this morning, along with the threat for some strong to severe storms, some of which could produce some damaging wind gusts, even a brief tornado or two. The rain should be clearing out of here this afternoon. Otherwise, very warm today with highs in the upper 60s, turning drier tonight and colder as lows fall back into the mid 40s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and cool for your Halloween with highs in the upper 50s on Friday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm Ference Toth, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. I use common sense as an entrepreneur, financial literacy educator, and speaker to understand how current events affect our money, our economy, and our freedom. Grow your money safely, reduce taxes, increase returns, and create positive arbitrage with Your Personal Bank. Tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show Saturdays at 4 p.m. or contact Ference at yourpersonalbank.com. The Your Personal Bank Show Saturdays at 4 p.m. on AM 680 WCBM.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, Memorial Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. We're talking about the viral police chase video. It is everywhere. My goodness, it is everywhere. In case you missed it, log on to social media. Pick your poison, right? It's on Instagram. It's on X. It's on Facebook. It's everywhere. But there's a Baltimore City police officer chasing a man down. At one point, they're like in this grassy area. And it does. It looks like there was a vacant home there at one point in time. Then it was demolished. And now you've got like those vacant like lots. You know, and so it's like you see the police officer chasing this guy down into the lot, and then it ends up on the street. Luckily, nobody else was hit. Looks like nobody else's car was hit. But then you see it towards the end, this officer then is in a back alley still chasing this guy. The guy's running on foot, by the way. And then he ends up crashing his patrol car into a fence in the back of a row home. And so Marty said earlier, I don't think this guy wanted to chase anyone. And he said that he was about 300 pounds. Well, Craig here in the text line says, Kim, wanted is wanted and total reason to stop, detain, arrest a person. Pursuit is totally reasonable. The use of force may come into question. And yes, he was definitely pushing 300 pounds. Okay, Craig. All right. Thank you, guys. I don't know. All right. I don't know about the, you know, you guys know better than I am how much somebody weighs, I guess. But at the same time, I think, you know, the part that I saw where you would obviously suspend the individual immediately was, number one, the car driving through the grassy lot, right, to chase this guy down on foot. And then, two, also putting other people in danger. Because the motorists, like I mentioned earlier, they're just sitting at a light. It's about five or six cars that are sitting at a light. And so now this guy that's on foot, he's running in between those cars sitting at the light. And so the officer is still chasing him. So the officer then has to do one of those, like, you know, the wheelie things, and he's got to get around the motorist sitting at the light. So then it's like, whoa, dude. But he doesn't stop there. You would think like anybody else would, okay, say, all right, this is putting other people in danger. Let me stop chasing this guy. No, that's not what the officer said in his head. He's like, oh, well, now I got him. He's in an alley, and he continues to go down the alley chasing him until he crashes his car. Then he literally crashes out. He literally crashes out, and then you have the guy's name is Slick Brown, I guess. He was the one chasing all this down and getting it on his cell phone. But, yeah, I, you know, obviously not the police conduct that you're used to seeing. I have some other text messages I wanted to read to you guys as well. Let's see. Ken says, Kim, crime does pay, except in Baltimore, where criminals have more rights than the peaceful residents and even protected by media and Democrat politicians. This is a failed society. You know what? That's one way of looking at it, Ken. It is a failed society. It's definitely uncivilized. And I mentioned this before, especially when referring to whether it's like, you know, parts of West Baltimore, even parts of East Baltimore, going down North Avenue on the east side. I mean, that looks a mess. And I said this before. How do you expect people living in uncivilized society to behave as if they are civilized individuals? I wouldn't expect that from those individuals. I don't expect that from them, because if you've ever been to some of these areas, and you would see, it's worse than Beirut. It's terrible. It's worse than many third world countries. And these people are not being educated. They're all standing on the street. Mind you, this is in the middle of the day. Nobody seemed to be at work. Did you catch that piece of it? The officer was the only one on the job. I mean, like, you know what I mean? This is a mess. It's a mess. And Marty, you did bring up the point there about the police being short-staffed. We do know that they are short-staffed by hundreds of police officers in the city alone. Is that why that guy was on patrol? I mean, has he been working overtime? Was he, you know, at that point on a, you know, 16-hour shift? I'm not saying that justifies chasing anybody down with your vehicle, but there's a lot of context that's missing here. And as I mentioned before, you have Mayor Brandon Scott, who already made a comment about it. He didn't make a comment about the Safe Street worker that was supposed to be in court on Monday. That's still AWOL, by the way. He didn't make a comment when we found out that his wife, Hannah Scott, didn't have her paperwork in order and still receiving taxpayer donations to her nonprofit. No statement from the mayor on that one. Right. It's like, you know, he makes a statement, though, when there's a police officer involved in something reckless. Interesting, right? Same old, same old. Same old, same old. Well, anyways, we'll continue to watch and see what happens. Also, I do want to give you guys a question of the day. If you haven't been to WCBM.com already, please go over there. You'll see the headlines of the day. You'll see what's going on here at WCBM, of course. And the question of the day, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? Yes, that's back in the news again, because next week you're expected to fall back, as they say. So your choices are change the clock or leave it at standard time. Cast your vote. Look, I know we've talked about this probably every year, but it comes up and it continues to come up because President Trump is ready to change it. And then there are so many people that are not so ready to change it. And I believe, is it Arizona? Arizona, they do not change their clocks back and forth. There's a couple of I got to look at the list, but there are a couple of states that do not change their clocks back and forth, which I would think is confusing considering that everybody else is changing their clocks and, you know, they're on a different time zone. Of course, I got a texter here. Dave said, please leave it. Dave, you've sent this every time we talk about the standard time. Apparently, Dave hates it. All right, Dave, I put you down as hating changing the clock back and forth. But I do want you guys to go ahead and go to WCBM.com and take part in our poll. And then we'll look at the numbers later in the show. And don't forget, Matt Coster, the Baltimore City Fire Department Union President for 734. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. We're going to talk to him about the Baltimore Fire Department, the social media posts they put out last week, their needs, you know, the fact that they're understaffed. We learned months ago. You know what? Might have been almost a year ago at this point. We learned that when individuals call 911 across the country, here in the Baltimore region, they are number one. They receive the most phone calls to the 911 call center than any other city and state across the country. Yet they are short-staffed. They're short-staffed on EMTs as well. So we'll talk to Matt about that. But I did want to talk briefly about the big topic, and we talked about this with Delegate Nino Mangione yesterday, the redistricting. We thought we put this to bed. Did you guys think we put this to bed? I know I thought so. I thought we put this to bed. Well, anyways, Governor Wes Moore is not so happy with the fact that Senator Bill Ferguson said that Maryland does not plan to do any redistricting. Now, this was in response to the fact that Texas did some redistricting and they picked up five Republican districts. Well, Governor Wes Moore with his political ambitions. He then, you know, threw his two cents into the conversation. And he said, you know what? Maryland is also going to do some redistricting. And this is after Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, he vowed to do redistricting there to pick up more congressional seats to offset what happened in Texas. Well, Governor Moore, even if they were able to do anything, all they would end up receiving is one seat because we have one lone Republican in our congressional delegation. Now, mind you, this is probably the dumbest strategy you could possibly imagine, but we understand. You know, when Governor Wes Moore says he's new to politics, it's not that he's so new to politics. He's just, you know, not that bright in the political arena. Because if you think about it, this strategy is terrible. You're still wondering, Governor, if you're going to get the money for the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and you're willing to just give the lone Republican that has a voice that can actually speak to President Trump, that actually agrees with federal funding coming for the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you're going to try to kick him out of his seat? This is stupid. Not only that, what map are you going to try to propose? You know, and Senator Bill Ferguson, many people have talked about this, and so did Delegate Nino Mangione. The way they're trying to configure the map, it's never going to get through the courts. Never. So what are you really trying to accomplish here? Is it just because you want to say that you tried to get into the fight? Because this is really just about your political career? Right now, you've got Republicans in Annapolis calling for the governor to fire the DHS secretary because of the death of Kanaya Ward in the foster care system in a Baltimore City hotel. He's not responding to any of that. But he's talking about redistricting. You see, Governor Moore, you know, whether you like him or not, he does not deserve a second term. He has not one accomplishment that anybody can point to. He hasn't done anything in regards to our economic status, except, I guess, ruin it, really. We lost our bond rating, right? We're number 50 out of all 50 states as far as economic growth. Then he talks about all these things, oh, we're going to bring these jobs and all this, you know. He's brought nothing to the table. Whatever happened with that trip to Asia? Did he get anything out of that? Anyways, I want you to take a listen to the audio here that talks about what's going on in regards to redistricting. And I guess now this battle between Senator Bill Ferguson, and he's honestly the voice of reason, and Governor Wes Moore.
When it comes to calling a special session to deal with redistricting, Maryland's top two Democrats are in a fierce tug of war, and neither appears to be loosening their grip.
At the State House, the lines are drawn. Senate President Bill Ferguson firmly against calling lawmakers back to Annapolis. Governor Wes Moore firmly in favor of it.
A special session is not off the table, regardless of what anyone else says.
The governor wants to call a special session so lawmakers can redraw the boundary lines for Maryland's 8 congressional districts. He's been pressing for redistricting in response to other Republican states, which have redrawn their congressional districts.
We are not going to bend the knee to the Trump administration. We're not going to allow the Trump administration to rig the rules so they can try to win an election, because they know they cannot win an election on policy. So they're just going to try to alter the setup of an election.
But in a letter from Senate President Bill Ferguson, he made his position crystal clear, telling his fellow senators the Senate is choosing not to move forward with mid-cycle congressional redistricting. The legal risks are too high. The timeline for action is dangerous. The downside risk to Democrats is catastrophic. And the certainty of our existing map would be undermined.
And I think the Senate president was the adult in the room in many ways, because he realized the courts would slap this down. Also, the way it would have to be drawn was going to be very difficult to make it pass as far as through the court.
When lawmakers redrew congressional maps 4 years ago, a judge called them an extreme gerrymander and ordered lawmakers back to the drawing board. But today, the governor was standing his ground.
Maryland needs to stand up. That Maryland needs to have a voice, and Maryland needs to have a backbone.
It almost smells at times like 2028 politics, to be able to say, look what I did. Look, I'm a good Democrat. I got rid of this evil Republican, etc. I think in time he's going to take the advice of President Ferguson and decide, okay, I better not get involved with this thing, because you still have to have good relations, especially in an election year.
Well, right now, 31% of registered voters in this state are registered Republicans, yet just one of the state's 8 congressional districts is represented by Republican. Jeff Abel, Fox 45 News.
All right, there you have it. And John Deedy, you know, he teaches political science over at, is he at UMBC? I got to check that out. But anyways, he was talking about Senator Bill Ferguson and how his comment on this makes sense. And it does make sense because, you know, number one, the map in which they are proposing to get rid of Andy Harris, that will not go through the court. You would have this legal battle leading all the way up to 2026. Is that really what the Democrats want to do? And then, you know, Governor Moore, he's like, oh, they don't have a platform and we're not going to bend the knee to President Trump. This is actually bending the knee to President Trump. I mean, like, for you to get in this fight, for you to acknowledge this, for you to say, oh, Trump this, Trump that, literally Trump is living in Governor Wes Moore's head right now rent-free. Rent-free. Whether it was about the National Guard, whether it's now, you know, we're not going to do DEI for the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now we're talking about this with the redistricting. We talked about the redistricting previously. He said, oh, President Trump, keep Baltimore out of your mouth. When he was standing there, you know, at Pimlico, he was trying to, you know, have a nice, I would think, a nice event in regards to Pimlico's demolition. But yet he turned it into a Trump event. He's living in his head rent-free. Completely. President Trump only acknowledged this guy once. And that was to call out the fact that he awarded himself the Bronze Star 16 after he pretended he received it. And so here he continues to poke at President Trump. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And Bill Ferguson, of course, he's looking at it also like, look, we got to focus on elections. And I will tell you, when you're looking at the map, right, when you're looking at the state seats, you know, the delegate seats here in the state of Maryland, some of these seats are going to flip. And from my understanding, and I know we spoke to former Governor Bob Ehrlich on the show, there are lots of Republicans that are working right now to make sure they flip some of those seats. Okay. Usually most, you know, we typically focus a lot on congressional seats. This time around, they're focusing more on the state seats and the county executive seats and the county council seats. And I like that. I like that for us, right? They're doing things very locally. And because of that, there's a good chance that we'll flip some seats this time around, which needs to happen, obviously. So Bill Ferguson is looking at this saying, look, I don't want all my focus, you know, in a courtroom trying to get Andy Harris out of his seat. Governor Moore, with his ambitions, he doesn't care. I got Vinek in Mount Airy. Good morning, Vinek. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, have you ever heard the expression, stupid is what stupid does?
I have, yep.
Yeah, so I think Governor Moore should, and I think Maryland should redraw, because that way the courts will get involved and the right thing will be done. So I don't understand why you would side with Bill Ferguson. I mean, technically he's right, but that's not the best interest for Maryland.
So you would rather see them get the courts involved?
Yes.
And then possibly get another seat out of this?
Yes.
See, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, I like the way your head, you know, I like what you're thinking here, Vinek. But I think what would happen at that point is they're going to go back and forth, similar to when Hogan was in the seat and you had Neil Parrott and Dan Cox working on the last map. It's going to go back and forth. They're going to, you know, keep kicking it back. And then they're going to basically come up with the map that they currently have now. That's how I see it.
All right, let them waste their time. That way they won't be doing anything else destructive.
All right. Well, Vinek, look, lots of people, I'm sure, agree with you on that one.
You know, one thing I want to note, Kim, the stock markets at our all-time high with the government shutdown, that's how important the government is.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Vinek, thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Look, you know, maybe Vinek's got a point here. Maybe let them go through it. Let them continue to argue about it. And then also, don't forget, Speaker Adrienne Jones, she stuck her nose in it. You know, she's another one that doesn't do any interviews. That's another one. So you got Kathy Klausmeier. Oh, by the way, real quick, Kathy Klausmeier's press secretary got back to me and said that she will not be doing any interviews at the moment. He said that she is very busy. I asked if he could send me maybe her itinerary just so I can see just, you know, how busy she really is. Because I don't see it. But I don't know if he'll send it over, but yeah. So Kathy Klausmeier will not be coming on the show. At least we asked, right? At least we asked. All right, coming up next, we'll continue discussing the redistricting. And then also, I do want to get into Republicans calling on Governor Moore to fire the DHS secretary.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You end up with unfulfilled promises. You end up with more poverty than when you started. And you end up, in the case of New York, it will be a poor city and state if this guy is elected. And then you end up with a loss of freedoms that's incalculable until all the dust finally settles. And I don't even know if... I don't forget about what Cuomo said. There may be a point of no return, or it'll take a very long time to resolve it. I don't see a window of opportunity that this is going to happen. Understand, the left's embrace of Mamdani is going to be the doom of Democrats nationwide. Nationwide. This is going to have repercussions we can't even calculate today, but it's that real.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Sell your home fast with certainty. Receive 3 to 6 multiple cash offers with at least one at 100% of market value. Or Vinnie Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty, will pay you the difference. Call, text, or visit VinnieSteele.com.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, Senator Bill Ferguson. He's raining on Governor Wes Moore's parade. That's right. They don't want to do redistricting. And look, it's Senator Bill Ferguson. He's the one that has to take it to the floor. He's going to be the one that has to take it to court. And so he's saying, no, politically, I understand why Governor Wes Moore wants to do this, but we're not doing it. It doesn't make any sense. I got a text here. It says his chief political opponent, Gavin Newsom, got redistricting on the ballot. He has to let the National Democrats know that he also did something here. The difference is in California, they're letting voters decide. That is a big difference, isn't it? It's a big difference. Look, if he truly cared, and Governor Moore, he made these statements as if he truly cares about a fair map. If that was the case, he would have an independent commission put it together, and then that, you know, and then they'll take it to court that way. But that's not what they want, because if you did a true fair map, you most likely would end up with 2 Republican seats. And so they can't have that either. And so, you know, look, well, I guess we could go with Vinek out of Mount Airy, right? Just let him do it. Should we do that? Should we go with Vinek? Well, let's just let him do it. Let him do it. Let him fight about it. Go ahead and fight about it. Also, we're going to have this fight later in the show. Don't forget the question of the day at WCBM.com. Should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? I'm going to go ahead. It's brought to you by Renovation Real Estate, by the way, the poll. And let's see. Right now, 8% of you say change the clocks. And 92% of you say leave it at standard time. So you guys are ready to leave it. You guys are done. You've had enough of this. I also have a text here that says, can you redo the sound effect you made when the cop turned and did a wheelie? What did I say? Did I do the sound? I apologize. That was very unprofessional. I apologize for that. And you know what? I deserve to be called out on that one. I also have a text here from Greg. It says, changing the clocks allows for more sunlight during the winter. Yeah, and that was always my case, Greg. It's like, you know, I look at it, when it comes to daylight and then kids going to school and coming home in the evening. Now, many people will point out, like, even at that point, you will still have some kids coming home when it's getting dark. It's tough. It is tough, but we'll continue to keep the poll up. Hopefully you guys go to WCBM.com and take part in a poll brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. We'll continue this conversation. I got a couple of text messages to read in regards to the redistricting. But we also have Matt Koster joining us here at the top of the hour. He's the Baltimore City Fire Department Union President, for 734. And they had a social media post over the weekend. I guess that was last week, maybe Thursday, Friday. And they were talking about how they are understaffed and overworked. We'll talk to Matt coming up next.
Looking for unbeatable flavor and local charm? Head to Michael's Cafe in Timonium, the neighborhood favorite for over 40 years. Famous for award-winning crab cakes, handcrafted cocktails, and a lively vibe. Whether it's brunch, date night, or happy hour, Michael's has you covered. Indoor comfort, outdoor fun, and live music on the weekends. It's all happening at Michael's Cafe. Michael's Cafe, Timonium's go-to spot. Taste the tradition. Visit michaelscafe.com.
Grandma's coming! Grandma's
coming! I know. Ugh. What am I going to do with this house? I don't have the energy this year to listen to her critique my cleaning and how this place looks.
Call Maid Pro!
I know. I'll call Maid Pro. Their 49-point checklist will keep your grandmother quiet and get this place back in shape and up to her standards.
Can we have candy, please?
Oh, God.
Call Maid Pro, 410-529-5960 or maidpro.com, because grandma's standards aren't standard.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump wrapped up his Asia trip with a much-anticipated meeting with Chinese President Xi in South Korea.
President Xi is a great leader of a great country, and I think we're going to have a fantastic relationship for a long period of time, and it's an honor to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Xi heard through a translator.
In the face of winds, waves, and challenges, you and I, at the helm of China-U.S. relations, should stay the right course and ensure the steady sailing forward of the giant ship of China-U.S. relations.
President Trump has agreed to reduce tariffs on China. Beijing agrees to allow the export of rare earth minerals, start buying American soybeans, and deal with fentanyl production. Looking at what some other countries, including adversaries, are doing, President Trump has ordered the Pentagon to resume nuclear weapons testing. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Republican Chuck Grassley leading an investigation into Operation Arctic Frost. He says it was a massive Biden Justice Department spy operation surveilling the activities of a host of conservative organizations. Phone records were subpoenaed from Verizon.
That includes a hard line for Senator Cruz's office and a staffer's cell phone for former Senator Leffler. AT&T informed me they challenged the legal basis for Jack Smith's efforts, and Smith back down.
Some conservative commentators say the alleged wrongdoing exceeds by far that of Watergate. With the arrests of five more people, a total of seven now in custody in connection with the crown jewel heist at the Louvre in Paris, gems have not been recovered. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 212 points, the NASDAQ 120 points lower. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly, and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me, and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free exit info kit. 800-762-6565. That's 800-762-6565.
Mike Slater, my dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Vinny Steo. Portions of southern Maryland and the eastern shore are on high alert for flood risk today. A coastal flood advisory covers portions of St. Mary's, Calvert, and other counties east of the Chesapeake Bay. Dorchester, Wicomico, and Somerset counties are under a coastal flood advisory until 4 a.m. tomorrow. Drivers across Maryland should lower their speeds today, as heavy rain is expected throughout the region. A Pasadena man is back in custody after authorities say he made repeated threats to kill Maryland judges. The Anne Arundel County Sheriff's Office arrested 37-year-old Joseph Scardina on Tuesday for violating probation tied to a previous conviction for similar threats. Investors say Scardina made new threats online, by phone, and in person, prompting a tactical arrest at his home. He was previously sentenced to jail time and mental health treatment in 2024. Scardina remains in custody ahead of a bail review hearing next week. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
If you or someone you know has a home to sell, call Vinny Steo. That's right, Vinny Steo, CEO and owner of Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Vinny's here with me right now. When it comes to our local real estate market, what advice do you have for our home sellers in today's market?
Well, Sean, most importantly, I understand that every seller situation is different. Some sellers need to sell, and there are some sellers that would like to sell but are on the sidelines. There are also sellers looking to buy and sell at the same time. My advice in this market is to make sure you're not losing any of your hard-earned equity. We provide multiple cash offers on your home for 100% of market value, or we'll pay you the difference. And if it doesn't sell, we'll buy it at a price and time frame agreeable to you.
Take it from me, Sean Casey. Sell with certainty and an upfront written guarantee with Vinny Steo. Call or text Vinny at 410-709-7515, 410-709-7515, or visit VinnySteo.com. That's VinnySteo.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
It's the Ravens and Dolphins from Hard Rock Stadium tonight in Miami. Baltimore with very little margin for error the rest of the way. Meanwhile, the Dolphins with some confidence now. And according to Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, it's not easy going down to Miami.
We know it's going
to
be a big challenge down there. We've been down there before. We've been down there on Thursday night before, and we know how it is.
And then there's Lamar, who's watched his team sink without him for three straight games, but he never lost hope.
I got a great group of guys on my team. I feel like we always got a chance to make something happen, and we still do. We showed that Sunday.
Meanwhile, Dolphins star linebacker Bradley Chubb, expected to play, knows the challenge ahead for his Dolphins defense.
You got Lamar. You got Snoop, who did a good job filling in for him as well. So they're both mobile quarterbacks, so that's kind of like the plan we're going with. And, you know, just everybody being on their keys and making sure we play a sound football.
Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. The full roster is available tonight. College football, can Maryland author a bounce-back game against the number 2 team in the nation? Well, we'll find out Saturday when the Terps welcome Indiana to College Park for homecoming. Trying to shake a 3-game conference losing streak, all by blowing fourth-quarter leads. Head coach Mike Locksley was asked if it's an us-against-the-world mentality on Saturday.
This is no disrespect to Indiana, but our opponent, much like what they do, the biggest opponent we're going to face is ourselves. And I think when you look at the way the last 3 games have gone, it's been a lot more us than it has been the opponent.
No team in college football has won a conference game by 50 or more points this season, other than Indiana. And after last week's hammering of UCLA, the Hoosiers have done it twice. Coming up in 30 minutes, an historic Game 6 last night in L.A. And that is Stein on Sports.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC.
At 10:07, here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are weather alert today as heavy rain, gusty winds, and even strong to severe storms capable of tornadoes move through the region. Otherwise, weirdly warm with highs in the upper 60s. Tonight turns drier and colder as lows dip back into the mid-40s. From the Fox 45 65 Weather Authority. I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
63 degrees in Essex, 60 in Owings Mills, and 60 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. You know, in case you missed it, the question of the day is at WCBM.com. Lots of you weighing in on this. Should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? Go ahead and take part in our poll. And then also, I just wanted to note, I got a text here from John in Pikesville. He says, Kim, my vote, keep standard time. I get up at 4 a.m. every day. I want my daylight in the morning, not at 9 p.m. in the summer. I'm just going to bed at that time, laugh out loud. He also told me not to run for office anymore. Stay right here at WCBM. Well, John in Pikesville, I'll be here. I will be here. Man, oh, man, we've got a conversation that needs to be had often. And it's unfortunate because we often talk about our first responders in the state of Maryland, across the country, really. And a lot of us feel the same way, that they have not been prioritized by our leaders, whether they're in the State House, whether they're on Capitol Hill, whether they're in City Hall. They just are not being prioritized. And when we are sitting here as taxpayers and we expect public safety, we expect our trash to be picked up, we expect certain things. And of course, high on that list is to make sure that our firefighters are taken care of. So last week, you know, of course, I saw the message that came out of Baltimore Firefighters, IAFF Local 734. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, usually they keep their head down, get their work done. But, you know, to see this message, it makes me think that this is really, really a dire time. Real quick, it says that the BCFD is running on fumes. Today, while two working fires burned across our city, Baltimore firefighters once again face the impossible, trying to protect this city with minimal staffing and critical equipment out of service. We couldn't staff the only tower ladder in Baltimore City, the one piece of equipment that can reach where others can't. Well, one of our two Airflex units responsible for refilling the air that keeps us alive inside burning buildings will also be down, and that was on that evening. It goes on, and talking about just how they need so many more things. And it's, like I said, it is unfortunate. It goes down to say, you know, what happens if the firefighters stop showing up? That's a question that they now have. And, you know, it's hopefully a question that will never be answered, because the last thing we want is for our firefighters to not show up, or any of our first responders. It also says that because the city won't back us with resources, staffing, and respect we've earned, Baltimore relies on its fire department every single day, and yet we are not being given what we need to keep doing our job safely and effectively. It says we show up no matter what, which we know. Maybe it's time the city started showing up for us. Right now, we're joined on the line. I'm very grateful for the time that he's taken to speak with us. Matthew Koster, he's the president of Baltimore Firefighters, IAFF Local 734. Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. So, of course, Matthew, we saw this message on social media, and of course, it's heartbreaking, because we know that you guys have been asking for help for quite some time. You know, since this message has come out, I know you did some other interviews. Have you received any kind of, whether it's an email or a call or any kind of, you know, I guess, sign that you're going to have some help here soon?
Yes. I had a nice meeting with the chief, fire chief, you know, James Wiles, last night. Him and I discussed a boatload of topics that we're working on. So we did have a good discussion last night. You know, it's just the fact that we need the city to invest in its fire department, and that's the problem.
Yeah, so I recall, Matt, I recall when, you know, it was around election cycle, of course, you had Sheila Dixon in the primary against Mayor Brandon Scott, and I think many of us were shocked when the fire union, Local 734, endorsed Mayor Scott, and then we found out that there was some issues in the past, I guess, for Mayor Sheila Dixon. You know, has Mayor Scott stepped up to the plate? You know, because I'm sure that endorsement was huge. Like I said, I think everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, that definitely, you know, was, I don't want to say the lesser of two evils, I guess, because, you know, at the time, you know, Mayor Dixon was closing down firehouses and cutting the fire department's budget and everything else. Mayor Scott, fortunately, did not do that. He, you know, he added to the fire department budget, but just, it's just not enough. Like, you know, he hasn't closed any firehouses down, but it's, we just need, we didn't do any hiring during COVID, and, you know, that was an issue. We're reaping those benefits right now, and we're having a hard time staffing our equipment.
Okay. And I mentioned this earlier, Matt, you know, many years ago, I was in the Baltimore City school system working with some of the kids there, those that were going off to work rather than college. And I remember there were firefighters that were coming in at that time to talk to the students about possibly joining the fire department. Do you guys still have, like, the recruiting efforts in the schools or around town?
We do have recruiting efforts. They definitely ramped up over the last few years since Chief Wallace came in to, you know, lead the fire department. It's definitely helped us out. We're just not getting the same numbers that we were getting, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, where it was thousands of applicants. Now we're only getting a few hundred. So, you know, that's a problem. It's not only Baltimore City, it's nationwide in the fire service.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. You might not know the answer, but why do you think that is? Do you think that there are young people today that just aren't as interested in being, you know, a firefighter or even a first responder in general?
I mean, I would say you're probably correct. This job is definitely not for everyone. You know, running into burning buildings or, you know, running into someone's house to perform CPR or, you know, a shooting victim. You know, this is a definitely demanding, mentally and physically demanding job.
Yeah, yeah, and we appreciate everything you guys do every single day. Let me ask you, you said you had a meeting with the chief yesterday. What kind of solutions specifically did you guys come up with? Because, like I said, I don't know how you get over the recruiting hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. It's, you know, we try to incentivize, you know, coming in. We try to raise the pay through negotiations and things like that. But, again, it just comes down to people wanting money and benefits and things like that, stuff that we're asking for in negotiations, but, you know, the city's not willing to budge.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're speaking to Matthew Koster. He is the president of Baltimore Firefighters, IAFF Local 734. Matthew, when I understand what you're saying when it comes to the city and city leadership, but again, that is sad and unfortunate. I'm wondering, is there a way to possibly get more help from the state?
I mean, we do talk to Governor Moore and, you know, the state delegation and, you know, in the session, we do have bills that we'd like to pass, and we would love help from the state, you know, but that's kind of what the mayor has to do. He has to ask for it. Josh and I, you know, try to talk to the governor about things and try to get our point across. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, it is unfortunate. I got a text here from a texter and asked, has the city relaxed its residency requirements at all?
Yes, we don't have a residency requirement in the Baltimore City Fire Department. You can live anywhere as long as you can get to work on time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that, see, texter, there you go. Well, I was wondering also, Matt, because I did see another report in regards to AI. And I know, I think you were talking to Fox 45 about this. I wasn't aware, and I think a lot of people weren't aware, but you have AI cameras there on the trucks with you. Is that true? And then why do you guys have those cameras to begin with?
The drive cam was put in a few years ago to, I guess, I want to say justify someone's position at the time. It wasn't supposed to be used for disciplinary action, but that's what it's being used for. And it's just eroding our morale, having our every move while we're driving scrutinized to the highest extent. It just undermines the trust between our members and the administration when it comes to, you know, if you hit a parameter set on the camera, like hard braking or hard turning, it records your incident, and then it's run through AI, and it looks for the parameters that are set through the fire department for any policies that we have in place. So if you don't come to a complete stop at a stop sign, and you roll through it at 1 or 2 miles an hour, it's going to send it to the fire department for disciplinary action. or if you're not wearing your seatbelt, or things of that nature. And then AI is also picking up if you have a pen in your mouth, it'll say you're smoking. Or if you're holding a transmission box that's next to the driver, it'll say you're using your cell phone. Things that we're not allowed to do, but it's not clear, and it's becoming a false positive, and it's misinterpreting normal actions, and it can be distracting and unsafe for the driver.
Wow. This is the first time I've heard of this, Matt. You know, the same thing happened. I don't know if you saw the story. I guess that was last week or the week before. At Kenwood High School, there was a student holding a Doritos bag, and the AI detector thought it was a weapon.
Yes, that's scary.
Yeah, so you're having the same, sounds like the same issues with AI. They're just not getting it right. Can I ask, do you remember when those cameras went in?
I want to say they went back in maybe 2015.
Okay.
They were in for a little bit, and then they were removed, or not removed, but they were taken out of service because of budgetary constraints. And then during COVID, they were taken out again, and then they were just brought back online probably about a month or two ago. And we're just getting inundated with disciplinary action against our members. And they're taking punitive action against our members, and it's just overwhelming us. And, you know, like I said, our members have been calling me, and I have to do something. Like, I just can't sit around and let this keep going. So we have to do something.
Absolutely. Well, I also wonder how much this costs, because obviously you guys are looking for more money for, you know, basic needs in public safety. Is this cost, is this part of your budget at the fire department, or is this coming out of the city's budget? Do you know?
I'm sure it's coming out of the fire department budget, because we're the only city agency currently that uses the drive cam, which is also unfair.
Very unfair. Any to your knowledge, and obviously I don't want you, you know, put in this position or throw anybody under the bus, but to your knowledge, do you know why the fire department was signaled out for this AI system?
I want to say it was back when it originally was implemented. There was a chief at the time who's no longer with us that was trying to justify using this for saving money on our accident, the accidents that we are having with our apparatus. And it was not to be used as punitive. It was just going to be used for accident, you know, recreation and stuff like that, to help with their collision review committees and things. But then it turned into punitive for our members. We're not asking for our members to be able to run a red light at 50 miles an hour. That's unsafe. But we're asking it just to be used for accidents only. That way our members aren't being subjected to every little thing that they're being monitored for.
And then also, again, we're speaking to Matthew Koster. He's a president of Baltimore Firefighters, IAFF Local 734. Also, Matthew, who actually monitors this system? Who's the one that's monitoring it and then saying, hey, here's what you've done. Now we've got to take action. Who is that individual?
So it's Lytx is the vendor that the city uses, LYTX, from my understanding, and that they send all the events, which is called for drive cam data and videos, to our safety office, our health and safety office, and they determine whether or not to pursue any disciplinary action.
I see. Well, Matthew, before you go, if you could just let us know, you know, what would be the solution? You know, obviously recruiting is going to be tough, but how much money are you looking for? And, of course, you're going to need it immediately, but what other solutions are you looking for at the same time?
I mean, we just want a fully staffed fire department to help with work-life balance. We would like, you know, to not have to work an extreme amount of overtime or extreme amount of hours based off of, you know, 46-hour work week that we work right now. We'd like to lower that to 42. It's a bunch of different things that could help us. Obviously, money's an issue all the time. I know the city is always crying broke, but, you know, the city depends on its fire department, and the city needs to invest in its fire department.
Do you have a meeting with Mayor Brandon Scott on the books? Is something scheduled?
No, that's currently, I have not been able to get a hold of the mayor. He will not return my calls or meetings.
Wow. Well, Matthew Koster, I'm glad that you met with the chief last night. I hope that you get some kind of solution here soon. And, you know, if you don't get anything anytime soon, maybe we can get some people together and host a fundraiser or something that we can at least help out a little bit. Because, of course, you guys are our hometown heroes, and we want to make sure you're taken care of. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one. Again, that was Matthew Koster. When we get back, we'll continue this conversation.
Today, we're speaking with Gil Kuda of Aegis Capital. According to Retirement Paycheck Survey conducted online by RBC Wealth Management, published February 1st, 2024, only 53% of Americans approaching retirement understand how their assets will provide a paycheck in retirement. How may an annuity be part of a plan to generate retirement income?
An annuity may be part of a combination of investments to pay income for someone's retirement.
And how should an investor consider an annuity?
There are many options to choose from. Be aware annuities have early surrender charges and are long-term investments. An investor should take a long-term focus.
And how is the income paid?
Each annuity has certain income provisions as to when you may begin to take income. Most plans allow monthly distributions. Some contracts offer lifetime income benefits. It's important to remember that guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability.
And how may our listeners receive more information?
Simply dial 410-230-1820 to request a free information kit.
Simply dial 410-230-1820.
Securities offered through Aegis Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability. Bonus credits may be offset by higher fees and reduced benefits. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investment products are not FDIC insured. They lose value and are not bank guaranteed.
You've planned for everything, your retirement, investments, and even your next vacation. But a plan for long-term care? Not so much. Let's face it, no one wants to think about needing care someday, but ignoring it? That's not a strategy. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that helps you stay in the home you love and maintain the lifestyle you love while securing the care you may need later. Visit our website, wesleysecurecare.org, or give us a call, 410-324-2400, to learn more.
The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, the Arctic Frost list of conservatives surveilled has grown dramatically. Jack Smith's goal was to wipe MAGA off the map and jail MAGA leaders like Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and Rudy Giuliani. Soviet style stuff. Listen, noon to three.
You just can't win, because I'm here to tell you, you guilty of sin. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to three on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Again, that was Matthew Koster, and he is the Baltimore Fire Union 734 president. And whoa. So the mayor's not even answering the phone calls. This is really sad. It's really sad. Obviously, I'm sure they've got to regret endorsing Mayor Brandon Scott. As you heard there, Matthew Koster said it was choosing between, I guess, two evils. I mean, look, it truly was. I mean, anybody that was even voting in the Democrat primary, they had to feel that way. They had to feel that way. It's heartbreaking because, you know, here, and also talk about taxation without representation. As a taxpayer, you expect your tax dollars to go to the fire department. As we've learned in the following, in, I would say probably the last few years, as far as how many phone calls go out to 911, the call center's even understaffed. We found that out as well through all of this conversation. But, you know, firefighters, police officers, I mean, as a taxpayer, I want my money going towards, you know, those issues first. Same thing with DPW, all the issues they have over there, trying to pick up the trash in Baltimore City. As taxpayers in Baltimore, don't you want your money to go to DPW and the issues they have there? So you can make sure that your streets are clean? I mean, this is common sense. Yet you got the mayor driving around in an $164,000 armored SUV, and they can't even get a text back? Left on red? Really? If you want to weigh in on this, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I guess my question is, and I'm glad that he was able to answer some of this as far as why the fire department has the AI system in the fire trucks and, say, you know, the police department does not. But I appreciate the fact that, okay, that system was going to be used for something else, and apparently it was. And then it turned into the situation where, you know, we're going to penalize our firefighters. I don't know if you guys heard the one piece there where Matthew Koster pointed out a firefighter could have a pen in his mouth and the AI system would think that he's smoking a cigarette while driving a truck. It's the same thing we saw at Kenwood High School, right? The Doritos bag that was the gun. AI is not where it needs to be for us to rely on it, clearly. Clearly. I got a couple text messages here I'm going to read. Jet Moncton, Jet, as always, thank you for your service. He says, as the fire and police departments are scrutinized through AI monitoring, you notice the politicians are not held to the same monitoring. Again, that's Jet Moncton. Yeah, Jet, that's interesting, isn't it? Isn't it? You think there's an AI system in that new $164,000 SUV? Absolutely not. He's got everything else in there. Not that. Let's see, I've got Daniel, I guess Danny D., formerly of Baltimore City. He says, Mayor Scott does not provide the funds needed to properly staff the critical needs of the Baltimore City Fire Department, but he continues to fund safe streets. The fire department needs to be a priority. Danny D., that's a great point. And right now, you got a safe streets worker who didn't show up to court on Monday. There's a warrant out for his arrest. He was AWOL. Do you think the mayor made a comment about that? No. Just so you guys know, I also yesterday I actually sent the mayor a DM. I said, hey, still looking to speak to you. I sent him my cell phone number. He didn't respond, of course. This is frustrating. There's lots of issues, obviously. But if you have the mayor that is going to literally jump to comment on a viral police video as a police officer, and again, the video was not a good look, for sure. But here you're ignoring the calls from the fire department? But you're going to jump and make a statement on that? You know, in the political arena right now, they all showed up at the Food Project. Again, Food Project, great organization. Nothing bad to say about the Food Project. If you can donate to them, please do. But at the same time, he, Johnny O, Kwesi Fume, John Bullock, they're standing at the Food Project talking about how government workers missed a second paycheck and they're going to starve, right? I mean, you got time for that, but you can't answer the phone when the Baltimore City Fire Department calls. When we get back, we'll continue this conversation. Also, Mayor Brandon Scott had a few things to say yesterday at a civil rights event. I got that audio for you as well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump rates his Asia trip as a smashing success. It ended with a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping in South Korea, and a trade deal was hammered out. The president has directed the Pentagon to resume nuclear weapons testing after a 30-plus year hiatus. It was called Operation Arctic Frost. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says it was a massive Biden Justice Department spy operation surveilling the activities of a host of conservative organizations and of the Republican Party. Also, cell phone records were subpoenaed. The nation's food banks preparing for a surge of hungry people if federal assistance is cut off this weekend. As of today, the government shutdown is now 30 days old. On Wall Street, the Dow trading 234 points higher, while the NASDAQ is down 247. More details, SRNNews.com.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
When you move to assisted living, what do you get? At some places, you get tricked, hoodwinked, ripped off, duped, swindled, even hornswoggled. At Lorien Assisted Living, you don't get that. You get transparent pricing, no surprises, and you get 24-hour licensed nursing on site. Not every place has that. Try the Lorien Pricing Calculator. Know what to expect in 5 easy clicks. Visit LorienMakesSense.com. That's LorienMakesSense.com. Lorien makes assisted living make sense.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Game 2 of the Ravens' resurrection tonight in Miami. Another chance for Baltimore to determine if the revival is authentic or a mirage. 2 games in 5 days, tough on any team, especially the one that travels. Linebacker Roquan Smith asked how you manage it.
I think it's an attitude from the day that you finish the game on Sunday all the way up until Thursday. Yeah, some people are going to be more hurt than others, but everyone is feeling something. So it's about coming out, being the most physical team.
Baltimore, as healthy a team as they've been all season. a walkthrough yesterday before departing full team participation. Game 5 of the World Series last night, and the Blue Jays did something never done before in Fall Classic history.
Here he comes, and off we go in Game 5 with a fastball that's hit in the air to deep left field, called to the track. It's a home run on the first pitch of Game 5. Now Vlad Jr. hooks a ball down the left field line. They've got back-to-back to start Game 5.
Joe Davis had the calls on Fox. Davis, Schneider, and Vladdy Jr. go back-to-back to start Game 5, first time in series history, as the Blue Jays now in firm command of this one, 6-1 the final last night for a 3-2 series lead. Coming up in 30 minutes, more changes on the way to the Orioles coaching staff. And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Realestate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Realestate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Your Fox 45 forecast, we are tracking heavy rain, gusty winds this morning, along with the threat for some strong to severe storms, some of which could produce some damaging wind gusts, even a brief tornado or two. The rain should be clearing out of here this afternoon. Otherwise, very warm today with highs in the upper 60s, turning drier tonight and colder as lows fall back into the mid 40s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and cool for your Halloween with highs in the upper 50s on Friday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix and boom, you're missing a part. It's okay because whatever it is, it's on eBay and it's guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Join me for Casey and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. for breaking news and stimulating talk. It's where MAGA Maryland meets to start to take back our state. Start your day with breaking news with Maggie Hunter. Traffic and weather on the threes with the king of all traffic, Chuck Whitaker, and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. Hear the latest on your favorite local teams with Gary Stein on sports and the unique perspective of executive producer Kristen Agrick. We are Maryland's wake-up call. Casey and Company, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
Again, thank you, Matthew Koster, for taking the time to speak to us today. He's with the Baltimore Fire Union 734, and he is the president. And they are dealing with some staffing issues. They're dealing with an AI program that's apparently in the fire trucks that is misreading what it's picking up. And I guess there's a company that oversees it by the name of Lytx. I do have a text here. It says, you know, Baltimore County once had a program that trained people on welfare as EMTs, then offered those qualified to apply for openings. There were multiple people who were hired from that program. Thank you, Texter. That's always an option as well. Yeah, I can't believe this. You know, when I say I can't believe this, I made a big deal about it, and I wasn't so nice to my friend Josh Fannin about it. But when they endorsed Mayor Brandon Scott for mayor, I was not happy. I think I made that very well known here on the show. I was not happy. I wasn't happy. It wasn't obviously anything that I could say, or, you know, I have no relation to the fire department whatsoever. But I was upset about it because the way he behaved after the Stricker Street fires. And you had four firefighters that lost their lives, or three, excuse me. Four was in the blaze. One gentleman was able to recover. But after that, you know, of course, I was at the huge celebration of life for the three firefighters. And even at the convention center, I was standing there and I was just watching. Of course, you know, you're trying not to cry because you've got so many people there, you know, and in the fire department, they're like family. And I was with Rachel Buttram, the widow of Lieutenant Paul Buttram. And I was so grateful and blessed that she invited me to come along with her that day. But just watching and just seeing the pain, and then just knowing that that house should have never been standing. There was a fire in that house previously. That house should have been demolished a long time ago. And then we found out about, you know, the way they used to mark the houses. They no longer did that. because there are people that said, oh, that's an eyesore, as if the vacant house itself isn't an eyesore. Then when I arrived on the scene that day, as they were trying to find Lieutenant Paul Buttram at that point, it was, you know, almost a recovery mission. And I arrived there. Of course, Mayor Scott was like, you know, get Kim Klasick out of here. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm not an elected official. Not even a Baltimore City resident. So that's fine. But the actual Baltimore City residents, they were trying to talk to Mayor Scott. Because, of course, this is a neighborhood in which the mayor never shows up. So they felt like, you know, it's our chance. This is our moment to speak to the mayor and tell them about these vacant houses and how easily they catch on fire. And many of the residents were asking when they were going to demolish a few of those homes in the neighborhood. And Mayor Scott puts his hand up like, how dare you? This is not the time to ask those questions. Well, meanwhile, those residents never got the chance to ask the questions because he never came back. There was no town hall meeting. And they knew that was going to be their only moment, and he wouldn't allow them to have it. You see, when you know, they stand up and they talk about underserved communities, they talk about the black community, they talk about, you know, those living in poverty. And they try to act like, you know, they're the ones that's going to make everything better, right? They're the ones that's going to save everybody. Let's stand in front of the food project because we're the ones that care whether or not you eat or starve. It's all politics. It's all politics. He took that endorsement from the fire department and walked away and never looked back. I'm actually glad that they're speaking out. I know it probably took a lot for them to do so, because as soon as you speak out in a city like Baltimore, whether it was Councilman Z. Cohen in his district asking his residents not to speak out publicly, and Mayor Scott, they all do the same thing. They don't want you to speak out. And when you do, there's repercussions. When you do, they'll make life hell for you. It's a shame, but that's how the city runs. I have some other comments I want you to hear from Mayor Brandon Scott. He was at an event. And, of course, like I said, all he does is play politics 24/7. That's all he does. And so, of course, you know, with that, he often talks about President Trump. Now, I don't even know if President Trump knows who this guy even is. Has he ever mentioned Mayor Brandon Scott to your knowledge, Brian, the producer? I've never seen him. I don't think he knows who this guy is. He's not on his radar. When he talks about Baltimore, I think, you know, President Trump is talking about Baltimore in general because it is such a poorly run city. He was talking about Baltimore previously because he wanted to send the National Guard. And, of course, Governor Westmore was putting up a front. But, you know, so was Mayor Brandon Scott. But I don't think he really sees him. Well, anyways, he was at an event. And Mayor Scott, it was for civil rights, because I guess it's Civil Rights Week. Did you know that, Brian, the producer? Did you know Civil Rights Week? I had no idea. And I'm black. I had no idea. Well, the Baltimore Mayor, Brandon Scott, suggested without any evidence that the Trump administration is coming for black Americans. Take a listen.
For my black brothers and sisters in the room, be reminded, they might not always start with us, but they will come home and end with us. We know that Malcolm X warned us that if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. Now more than ever, we have to know what we stand for and who we stand with. Senator Hayes, there is no plan to 50. You're either with us or you're against us.
And he's so stupid. Malcolm X was talking about liberals. He was talking about the Democrats. The party that he has an allegiance to. He's that dumb. His IQ is that low. He thought Malcolm X was talking about somebody like President Trump. Not even the case. Not even the case. But beyond that, you see how he says there, oh, my brothers and sisters, my black brothers and sisters. What about the black brothers and sisters in Baltimore City right now wishing you would call the fire department, wishing you would show up so they can talk to you about the vacant homes in their neighborhoods that should have been demolished decades ago? What about those black brothers and sisters? What about the black brothers standing on the streets in the open-air drug markets because they went to a predominantly black school in Baltimore City that didn't educate them at all? What about those black brothers? What about the black brothers and sisters that are currently in the public education system in Baltimore City not receiving an education? What about them? What about the black brothers and sisters that are in our elderly community that is too afraid to leave the house because of the drug dealer standing on the corner just making life hell every single day for them? What about those black brothers and sisters? They don't matter, I guess. It's just whoever's in that little crew, right? The little clique that Mayor Scott has. If you're outside of that, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. If you're outside of that, he doesn't care. And he'll ride around in his $164,000 armored SUV while you're standing on the street dodging bullets. He'll ride around in an armored SUV while a seven-year-old riding by in a family car gets hit by a stray bullet because of a drive-by shooting. He has the nerve to show his face after that happens. Doesn't even acknowledge it. He goes to the press conference dressed like Howdy Doody. Some people said Willy Wonka. I don't know. You could choose. And he had the nerve to say something about it. He had the nerve to say, we'll get to the bottom of it. You said that about the Brooklyn Day shooting. Here we are. How many years later? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then you have the nerve to tell people, oh, Safe Streets, you're doing such great work. GVRS, they're doing such great work. Well, if their ear is to the ground, and they're in the community, and they trust them, why haven't you solved who killed two beautiful young people at the Brooklyn Day event? Why haven't you solved that yet? If they're so great at what they do, they deserve millions of dollars. While the fire department's begging for crumbs. It's a sad state of affairs. But this is why I was upset when he was reelected. He's a terrible mayor. Governor Westmore is a terrible executive. The both of them. Couldn't run a lemonade stand, and it shows. I'm going to go to the phone lines. If you want to weigh in, you can. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I've got John in Baltimore. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Cam. I appreciate your taking my call. I'm a fellow Middle River resident. Oh. And anyway, the reason I'm calling, Cam, is this. You were talking about the Stricker Street fires, and I remember those quite vividly, because I own a property right around the corner from that Stricker Street property.
Oh, wow.
And amazingly, there's a property, I'll tell you what the address is. The address is 1615 Frederick Avenue, which is also vacant and derelict, and has been vacant and derelict for years. And it had violation notice after violation notice after violation notice attached to the door, and I finally called property location, and I said, who owns this property at 1615 Frederick Avenue? And guess who owns it?
Oh, I could guess. Was it the city?
The mayor and city council.
Of course.
It was not acquired at tax sale or anything like that. Apparently, I ascertained this after asking a lot of questions. The property was voluntarily acquired by the city way back in 1990. So it's not a tax sale property. It's a property, and the city at that point claimed they had big plans for it. And they bought it from a derelict homeowner who had a lot of money. And I'm not going to say any more than that. I knew him. I knew he had a lot of money. And he wanted badly to get rid of that property because he was going to renovate it. But he realized very shortly that it would cost more to renovate the property than the property would be worth after he did the renovation.
Yeah.
He went downtown and said something to somebody and took a little gift with him when he went downtown and said to this individual, don't you want to buy this property for the city? And the individual looked at the little gratuity that this individual took and said, oh, yes, we need that property, yes.
Wow.
So right now, and Mayor Scott preached to all of us who own properties in Baltimore City, fix your properties. And he had violation notice after violation notice after violation notice attached to his property. And to this day, the last time I checked, I don't go down there too much anymore, but the last time I checked, still vacant and derelict and subject to fire. Because people go into those buildings that are vacant when it's cold. They build little campfires right on the wood floors. I've seen it done.
Yeah.
And the buildings catch on fire. And there's another couple of firemen who could die right there in that building owned by Mayor Scott.
Wow. Well, John, thank you so much for calling with the information. Let me ask you before, real quick. I mean, do you think anything's going to turn around here? Because I can't see it, but maybe you're a bit more optimistic.
You mean in Baltimore City?
Yes, yep.
Well, I'm a former teacher again, but from I'm really going in the way back machine right now. But I taught at a middle school, and then I taught several years at the former Eastern High School. And I'll tell you what I found is that students are very, very bright. I was surprised. But they're very, very, very behind. I taught 10th grade math, and a lot of the girls who came into the classroom there at Eastern, they were in the 4th or 5th grade level.
Wow.
And they're perfectly smart, and many of them, once I made them obsessive about learning and doing work, and I gave them tons of work, all of which I expected to be done, and all of which I had to grade, and that was a huge job. But anyway, but they were very, very bright, Kim, and very hardworking. And the main reason that I support Donald Trump, which I do, is this, that he supports school choice.
Yeah.
Baltimore City, which is the 4th highest funded school system in the country, behind Boston, New York, Montgomery County, Baltimore City. The per pupil expenditure in Baltimore City is $22,000 a year. You can go to Calvert Hall for that. The Baltimore Sun says Calvert Hall is the best city in Baltimore. How much does it cost to go there? $18,000. If you're a mom or a pop and you got a voucher for $22,000, you don't have to send your kid to Gilmore Elementary. You can send them to Calvert Hall, the best school in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we should have school choice.
Well, it was in the big, beautiful bill. You know, Governor Wes Moore just has to opt into it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today.
I hope that Trump pushes it. There are 11 states now that have it, and I look forward to the day when all 50 states have school choice. Let's treat our kids good.
I agree with you, John. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kim Glasic. You the same. You're terrific.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is not a fun jingle. You're not going to hear me say a silly slogan. I'm just going to give you the cold, hard fact. When you need a lawyer who really gives a shit, you're going to call 877-OUCH-911 or visit OUCHGUY.com. Why? Because I'm the attorney he really gives a shit. Ouch, guys, Yoshua Beer.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years. And now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right. Thanks again, John, for that call. I really do appreciate you calling in. I'm looking up 1615 Frederick Avenue now. I see, as far as Google Maps is concerned, yeah, it's still boarded up. It looks a hot mess. If you're just joining us, John was telling us about a property that's owned by the city in the Stricker Street area. You know what? I guess with the $164,000 SUV, it's like a harder slap in the face, isn't it? It's like, here this guy is. He's taking your tax dollars, purchasing this SUV that's all pimped out, and yet he's not giving a call back or even a text back to the fire department. They're looking for money. They endorsed his campaign because, you know, obviously they must have thought that he was going to help them out. They've had to have the conversation. And then, you know, you're thinking about what's going on and even putting our firefighters in danger. We lost three of them on Stricker Street already. And then you see this home all boarded up. Yes, they take the boards off, those that are in the area that, you know, want to open it up. And whether they're struggling addiction or they're struggling with homelessness, they go into these homes and they start fire, especially when it gets cold outside. And so here you've got the fire department telling you right now, we are understaffed right now. We are overworked right now. We're not even in the really, truly chilly months of the year. Go back to the phone lines here. I've got JC in Middle River. Hey, JC.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
You were speaking about some of the mayor's sentiments early, and it just struck a chord with me. I am so sick and tired of hearing about all of this oppression. And for the love of God, somebody show me where it is. Please, I'm dying to see it. When you can keep these kids dumb, stupid, uneducated, just so they just vote for somebody that looks like me, it's all style over substance. I'm so damn sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. Where's the evidence? Where is all of this awful oppression? Where is it?
Yeah.
Somebody show me where it is, please. When all of the accommodations we made for the last 60 years, which we shouldn't have had, we should be people, we should be Americans, we should be black Americans, white Americans, this American, we're Americans, we're human beings, freest people on the planet, fat, dumb, and happy, and all we got to do is complain about how we're oppressed. I'm so sick of it, Kim. I'm so sick of it. When is it going to stop? You know, you're insulting the black Americans who work hard, who have been successful, who have made it. They don't want a Ferrari, just want to live their lives. But now we got to pay all these taxes to keep the whole bloody machine moving, right? I'm sick of it, Kim.
Yeah.
Sick of this guy. Sick of him. Shut up, boy mayor. Stop it. This dividing people, I've had it. I've had it.
I'm right there with you, JC. And look, as a black woman, I can tell you that I'm not oppressed, and I'm still trying to figure out how others just like myself are oppressed. Trust me, I don't see it either. JC, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Wow. A lot of people feel the same way. I definitely feel the same way. And you've missed it. JC was referring to the comments that Mayor Brandon Scott made at a civil rights event yesterday, saying that President Trump was coming after black people. Yeah. You know what? I'd appreciate if President Trump came after the black people here in Baltimore. That would give the true black people that are being ignored by Mayor Scott, that would give them a little bit of attention. Because guess what? The black people that he's talking about, that Mayor Scott's talking about, just a couple weeks ago, they were begging for the National Guard. They were begging for Mayor Scott to allow the president to send in the National Guard. Because they don't feel safe walking the streets of Baltimore. And then he'll say what? No, the crime is down. Non-fatal shootings are down. Homicides are down. Sure, those numbers are down. But you saw the crime index poll, right? Third most dangerous city, not just in the country. Most likely in the world. And here we are. All right, we get back. We'll continue with these conversations. Of course, we'll continue to discuss. I do want to end up talking about what we learned in D.C. yesterday in regards to Arctic Frost. We'll get into that as well. And then Senator John Thune, he had a pretty scathing message for his colleagues in the Senate chambers. The government shutdown continues. But, of course, you know, they're blaming President Trump and Republicans, but it's the Democrats that are not voting for this continuing resolution. So all that and more coming up next.
Hi, this is Sean Casey, inviting you to join me every Sunday morning at 8 for Rescue Healthline. Each week, we'll discuss important health issues and why you should consider using nutraceuticals or natural supplements. I'll be joined by a physician every Sunday to talk about these supplements and answer your medical questions. Listen every week for the premium coupon code that will save you money on your order. Start your day and week off with a dose of healthy information on Rescue Healthline. Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Amazing. That's how President Trump describes his meeting in South Korea with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
On Air Force One afterwards, Trump said that the U.S. would reduce tariffs and China would end restrictions on rare earth exports. Unsurprisingly, Trump said he'd rate the meeting 12 out of 10, and he also gave some idea of future visits between the two leaders. Trump to China in April and Xi to the U.S. sometime after that.
Correspondent Tian McLeod G says the meeting capped the president's week-long Asia trip. President Trump is directing the Pentagon to resume nuclear weapons testing after a 30-plus year hiatus. It was called Operation Arctic Frost. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says it was a massive Biden Justice Department spy operation surveilling the activities of a host of conservative organizations and the Republican Party. Grassley calls Operation Arctic Frost the vehicle by which FBI agents and DOJ prosecutors could improperly investigate the entire Republican political apparatus. Hurricane Melissa did a real number, and it was a terrible number, on the Caribbean.
Dennis Sulu, the UN resident coordinator in Jamaica, said,
"What we are seeing in preliminary assessments is a country that's been devastated to levels never seen before."
Catastrophic flooding occurred in Haiti, where dozens were dead or missing. Eastern Cuba had blown off roofs, downed power lines, and crop damage. Hurricane conditions were forecast to continue in the Bahamas into the morning and were expected to affect Bermuda later on Thursday as the storm passes. I'm Karen Chamas.
With the arrests of five more people, a total of seven are now being held in connection with the crown jewel heist at the Louvre in Paris. The gems have yet to be recovered. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 336 points, the NASDAQ 240 points in the red. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hey, it's Mike Gallagher, host of the Mike Gallagher Show. I don't mess around when it comes to saving you money. Right now, rates have dropped to the lowest level in over a year and a half. That means if you bought your home or refinanced in the last 3 years, you could be saving hundreds of dollars every month. Lower your rate, lower your monthly payment, even kick that pesky PMI to the curb. And get this, you can skip 2 full months of mortgage payments. But that's not all. Fellowship Home Loans just rolled out something incredible. Their very own HELOC and lines of credit. Approval in just 5 minutes. Money in your account in as little as 4 days. It's the easiest system you've ever used. You can do it yourself online. Whether you want to pay off bills, tackle a home project, cover education, or even a wedding, Fellowship Home Loans makes it simple to leverage the money that's already sitting in your house. Just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G, fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G, or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending guided by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Maryland travelers are among those stranded in Jamaica after Hurricane Melissa tore across the island with winds topping 185 miles per hour. The Cat 5 storm knocked out power to most of the country and damaged major resorts, forcing flight cancellations and airport closures. Officials say about 25,000 tourists remain on the island as crews work to restore power and clear runways. Relief flights are expected to begin later this week as Jamaica continues recovery efforts. A rare Bob Ross painting is heading to auction in Towson just days after what would have been the late artist's 83rd birthday. The 1987 oil painting, Lake with Cabin and Trees, will be auctioned Friday at Alex Cooper Auctioneers, with bidding starting at $10,000. The piece features Ross's trademark landscape style and includes a handwritten note from the artist wishing the original owners a very happy and joyful life. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Today, we're speaking with Gil Kuda of Aegis Capital. According to Retirement Paycheck Survey conducted online by RBC Wealth Management, published February 1st, 2024, only 53% of Americans approaching retirement understand how their assets will provide a paycheck in retirement. How may an annuity be part of a plan to generate retirement income?
An annuity may be part of a combination of investments to pay income for someone's retirement.
And how should an investor consider an annuity?
There are many options to choose from. Be aware annuities have early surrender charges and are long-term investments. Investors should take a long-term focus.
And how is the income paid?
Each annuity has certain income provisions as to when you may begin to take income. Most plans allow monthly distributions. Some contracts offer lifetime income benefits. It's important to remember that guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability.
And how may our listeners receive more information?
Simply dial 410-230-1820 to request a free information kit.
Simply dial 410-230-1820.
Securities offered through Aegis Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability. When credits may be offset by higher fees and reduced benefits. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investment products are not FDIC insured. They lose value and are not bank guaranteed.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Thursday night football tonight in Miami, and after a three-game absence, Lamar will be back under center. A homecoming for Jackson, who grew up about 25 miles from Hard Rock Stadium. You'd think he'd be excited.
It's not about Miami, me going down there to Florida and playing. It's about any Sunday, any Thursday, you know, any Monday. It really don't matter. I just want to play football and have fun and get a win.
Ravens had full participation in light practice these last 2 days and remain a 7.5-point favorite going in. Game 5 of the World Series last night, an historic performance for Blue Jays rookie pitcher Trey Yesavage, who started the season in single-A ball and ended it, at least for the moment, on the mound last night in L.A., striking out a World Series rookie record 12 batters in 7 innings as the Jays take firm control of the Fall Classic. 6-1 was the final. Yesavage breaks the record of 11 strikeouts set by Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher Don Newcomb in 1949 and acknowledged after the game what a story this is.
Crazy world. Hollywood couldn't have made it this good. So just being a part of this, I'm just very blessed.
Meanwhile, in the Dodgers clubhouse, manager Dave Roberts.
Guys have got to do their jobs. Everyone's got to do their job. And so right now, we're at elimination, and we've got to kind of wipe the slate clean and find a way to win Game 6.
Travel day today, Game 6 tomorrow night, north of the border, 3-2 series lead for the Jays. Orioles news, manager Craig Albernaz building his coaching staff the way that he sees fit. Sources telling the Banner that interim manager Tony Mancelino will not be retained in any capacity, and first base coach Anthony Sanders has been given permission to seek employment elsewhere. Coming up in 30 minutes, it'll be a tough putt this weekend for Maryland football. And that is Stein on Sports.
Let's be honest.
You are way too with it to be thinking about long-term care and care plans. But step one of aging well is admitting you're aging. You can't outsmart time, but you can plan for it. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that keeps you in control, at home, and ready for whatever comes next. Because denial is a strategy, just not a great one. So set up your strategy today. Learn more at WesleySecureCare.org.
At 11:07, here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
From the Fox 45 Weather Center, this afternoon showers will taper as temperatures rise to the mid to upper 60s. It'll be breezy at times with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. We'll be cool tonight, dropping to the 40s with clearing skies. Then for Halloween, highs will reach the upper 50s and it'll be breezy. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Jasmine Lomax. Max for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
62 degrees in Bel Air, 65 in Edgemere, 65 in Ellicott City. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? Now, we're talking about the viral video in Baltimore City where a police officer was basically crashing out, literally chasing a guy on foot while in his patrol car that's being reviewed and investigated. But it did go viral. Everyone's talking about it all over the country. We're also asking you the question of the day. If you haven't been to WCBM.com, please take part in our poll. Should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? Yes, you would like to change the clocks. Or you would like to leave it at standard time. Go ahead and take part in that poll at WCBM.com. Brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. We'll get to those numbers in just a little bit. Also, Governor Moore and Senator Bill Ferguson are in a little bit of a, I guess, you know, a disagreement. They're not in a fight, right? It's not a fight. It's a disagreement. Senator Bill Ferguson said, no, here in Maryland, we're not going to do any redistricting. We're not going to respond to the Texas redistricting maps. We're going to just go ahead and go about our business. Yes, we have one lone Republican on Capitol Hill, but it is what it is. But Governor Wes Moore says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We must do redistricting. We must get rid of that one Republican. Does he even realize what he's fighting for and how bad it sounds? Like, he thinks he's doing this for his political career, and yet he's making this worse. It's a terrible strategy, but we did talk about that. We also spoke to Matt Koster, and he is the president over there at the Baltimore City Fire Union 734. And we were talking about the fact that they are still understaffed and their equipment is outdated. And it's very unfortunate because even during the commercial break, I went back to take a look at some of the old articles and even some of the old reports. I saw one with Jeff Abel back in October 2023. And people were questioning then whether or not Mayor Brandon Scott was going to help, you know, even after the death or the deaths, I should say, on Stricker Street. And, you know, it's still in the same condition, even after the fire department or that fire union, 734, endorsed Mayor Scott in his race against Sheila Dixon. And so they continue to wait. We did find out from Matt Koster that they've been trying to call the mayor. In case you missed it, he has not called back. How do you not respond to the fire department? I mean, like, the audacity, right? The audacity. You're the mayor of Baltimore City, and you're not responding to the Baltimore City Fire Department? I got a text from Marty. Marty said, Kim, don't forget, you mentioned the SUV that cost us $164,000, but you forgot to mention that it also has lights and sirens. You're right, Marty. I forgot to mention that. He's got his equipment. He's got everything he needs. Also, we were talking about Mayor Scott, the comments he made at a civil rights event yesterday. He said that he believed that President Trump is coming after black people. And I said, this is news to me. All those times that I've been in the room with President Trump and he has... Do you think he didn't know that I was black? Maybe. Remember when he endorsed my campaign? He endorsed my race here in Baltimore City. But apparently, according to Mayor Scott, Trump hates black people, but he endorsed my race to the point where we actually brought in $8 million in a race that everybody said, do not run. It's not worth it. And nobody's going to donate to you. Yeah, $8 million because of President Trump. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but he hates black people, according to Mayor Brandon Scott. Well, anyways, of course, we've been having conversations in regards to both Mayor Scott's comments and then also what's going on with the Baltimore City Fire Department. So I want to get back to the phone lines because people have been patiently waiting. I've got Bob in Catonsville. Bob, we were also talking about the housing in Baltimore City, and we found out from a caller by the name of John that you know, the city still owns vacant houses that are just sitting there. Bob?
Hello.
Hey, Bob. Did you want to weigh in on that?
How are you?
Good,
I'm
good.
I'm a builder, developer, fourth generation contractor. My great grandfather built downtown Baltimore row houses and Utah Place and Dundalk and whatever. Tell me something. Would anybody in his right mind now move into a 4 foot, 14 foot wide row house to live? Would you live in one?
No, not at all.
No, I went with a individual contractor like me in Cleveland, Ohio. We built several thousand new individual homes in Cleveland that the city of Cleveland mayor was absolutely against, and we sold every damn one of them. That could happen in Baltimore and surrounding. But no, we don't have a mayor. The guy didn't even graduate from high school. And then we got a governor that isn't worth anything. So do you think anything's going to happen? You keep talking about it, but it's never going to happen, baby. Never.
Yeah, well, look, I believe you there, Bob. I believe it's not going to happen. Bob, you know what's also very interesting in all this? They're renovating the Inner Harbor, and they're putting million-dollar condos down there. Now, do you think those are going to sell?
Nothing wrong with that, but that's not where the average person's going to live. They're
yeah.
going to live in a house in Hollandtown and Dundalk and West Baltimore or whatever. There are certain areas of Baltimore City you wouldn't dare build a house in. I built the houses on Lock Haven Boulevard at Belvedere, and also over east of there, but can't do that now because we got nobody to work with and nobody wants to give the money. I would seriously doubt that the governor of the state would give the city of Baltimore money in order to produce new houses. There are thousands of people that would love to live in Baltimore City, not in a 14-foot row house.
No, no. And the comptroller's been talking about it as well. Bob, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in.
Not a problem. Have
Thank
a nice
you.
Day.
You too. You too. Have a great weekend. I've got Jeff in Moncton. Jeff, we were talking about the firefighters and the mayor. You wanted to weigh in?
Hey, Cam. Yep. If you don't mind, just for my background, 33 and a half years, Baltimore County Fire Department, the last 17 as a captain. I just want to piggyback on what Matt Coster, Local 734, was talking about. When the Stricker Street fire was brought up and the boarded up buildings and all that kind of stuff, what the public, sometimes they don't understand, and they might say, why do firefighters go into buildings that, you know, look like they're going to fall down or whatever? Now, I am not highly knowledgeable on the Stricker Street fire. I'm a Baltimore County firefighter. I'm not a Monday morning quarterback, but what I will say is anytime firefighters are dispatched to a fire that is in a compartmentalized type of environment, whether it's a dwelling, it can be a vehicle, even a dumpster, we have to search because people seek refuge in these things, especially now with the homeless and everything. So what might be a boarded up building to one person is an occupied structure to us until we prove that it isn't. And what happens is often we get hurt, and sometimes even worse, we die in the line of duty. And what's even worse about that is because of all the second-guessing that the politicians do, and also the high-ranking officials of the fire departments, occasionally, not all of them, benefits are often held up for these individuals that are hurt or have lost their life because of investigations as to why they do this, why they do that. So the fire department as a whole, Baltimore City, and I could say Baltimore County, we're all suffering from the same thing, and it's politically driven, and the public, the only way it's going to get straightened out is when the public starts blowing the phones up and blowing the emails up and getting this stuff straightened out, because the cuts... There are cuts every single day, and people just aren't aware of it until they call 911. And like you said earlier, sometimes they're put on hold, And sometimes the apparatus that's being dispatched is coming from a totally different area of where the incident might be. Not because that piece of equipment that's closest is out on another call, but because that piece of equipment might be out of service due to staffing levels. So that's, I just wanted to enlighten the public a little bit about that. And thanks for taking my call. And happy Halloween.
No, happy Halloween to you, Jed. I do appreciate you calling in as always. And thank you for your service as well. Thank you for shedding some light on this situation. I appreciate you. Thank you. Look, you know, and he's so right. And look, remember we were speaking to Sally Taylor in Carroll County running in District 5 about this. And she was talking about in Carroll County, the fire department and their apparatus, right? And then we spoke to Alex Harlan there in Baltimore County, not too far from where Jet is, running in 42A. He's talking about the fact that this is number one on his platform when he gets to Annapolis. You see, this is a serious problem. It's a serious problem. And as taxpayers, and I love the fact that Jet mentioned that, you know, we got to get out there and make sure we make the phone calls and send over the emails to these politicians. Because as taxpayers, this is our money. This is our money here. This is what we should be focused on. And the fact that these elected officials won't do it, and this all goes back hand in hand with, you know, the whole vote blue no matter who. No one's holding these people accountable. If these politicians aren't worried about winning anything more than a primary, why would they care? As soon as they win the primary, they feel as though their job is done. They don't care. Same thing you saw with Mayor Scott and Sheila Dixon. Sad state of affairs. I've got Tom in Baltimore. Hey, Tom, you retired firefighter. Thank you for your service, first of all.
Thank you. I mostly did EMS. I had a problem with heights, so I never loved firefighting. But what I wanted to say was, when the offer money was ARCLA, whatever it was being discussed a year or two ago during COVID, and the fire department asked for money, and they were turned down. But yep. The NGOs got all the money they wanted. Imagine the in my community downtown where I live, there was an ambulance that had its rear end dragging the whole, for weeks we kept looking at this, so finally it just broke down in the middle of the street. But imagine working 24 hours doing hard labor, and you go home for 48 hours, or you spend that whole time recovering. They've already started privatizing because you see private ambulances running all over the place, running emergency calls because we don't have sufficient EMS coverage. So when they talk about defunding, they can still privately do it by just not letting it grow or letting it stay where it belongs. Because when you turn around and a private ambulance is running a 911 call, you've already begun to defund it by allowing the private to take over.
Yeah, great point. Great point. Let me ask you this, Tom. Do you think that is this more of a politician thing? I mean, like, as far as, say you get a different mayor. It's not Mayor Brandon Scott. Say you get somebody else in there that maybe isn't so deep, you know, knee-deep into politics as Mayor Scott is. Do you think that this would turn around, or is this more of just how the Democrat Party works, where they're just, you know, their priorities are focused elsewhere in general?
It's a Democratic thing because we've closed fire stations for years. And imagine closing the fire station that's around the corner from your house. Oh, but it's okay because the one a few extra blocks away. But see, minutes count, seconds count. How long can you hold your breath? That's what I tell people all the time. How long can you hold your breath? Well, there's another fire station 8 blocks away. Well, what if they're on an ambulance call? See, when I rode back in the 80s and the 90s, my neighbor broke his arm, and we put a board on him and drove him to the hospital. Now they call 911 for prescription refills. I had a cold for 2 weeks. I'm off today, so I called 911. It is a convenience thing, but then the government doesn't help by allowing it to degrade as far as numbers and the quality of the care of their equipment. So when you close fire stations, you already make a public notification that it's not a priority.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what they were saying Sheila Dixon did while she was in office as well.
When you close schools and churches but keep casinos and stores open during COVID, then I don't see where we're protecting someone from anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you so much
Queen of Radio.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend. It's shedding more light on this topic. It's unfortunate, as I mentioned before, and I actually went, I found, just real quick here, I went back, as I told you, I was kind of Googling during the commercial break, and I saw a piece from January 28th, 2022. And Mayor Scott was discussing the issue of vacant homes in Baltimore. Now, this is obviously right after the Stricker Street fire. And it says here that Baltimore City Mayor Brandon Scott said the city has to work more aggressively to deal with vacant homes in Baltimore after a fire in a vacant three-story row home on Monday that left three firefighters dead and one injured. This is what Mayor Scott said during this interview. He said, the home where the unfortunate fire was the other day, the housing department had been out there on the 4th of January to inspect it. Found it boarded, found it clean. This is again Mayor Scott. He said, we have to figure out how to more rapidly go through the system and the court system. And then this article says Baltimore has more than 15,000 vacant homes. A small percentage are owned by the city. Scott said the owners of these vacant properties need to be held accountable. Yeah, so do the city. The city needs to be held accountable too, Mayor Scott. You got vacant homes out here, and they're also a problem. But you're focused on who? You're focused on what? Those that own. And look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be focused on it, but we all know why he's focused on certain owners, not others, right? We know why. He has already shown his true colors. That's why, again, I was so surprised that not only was he reelected, but he received so many endorsements. We'll continue this conversation when we get back. Also, we'll go to Washington, D.C., talk about what's going on at Capitol Hill. Before you go, I just want to make sure you've been out to Town Appliance off of Reisterstown Road in Owings Mills to see my friends, Mayor and Mayor. If you're getting an upgrade or if you need an upgrade on your home appliances, then go see Mayor and Mayor today. They have over 70-plus brands like GE, Cafe, and Monogram. They've got refrigerators, dishwashers, ovens, stoves, you name it, whatever you want to look for as far as your home appliances, they can help you out. Mayor and Mayor are not like the big box stores. You come into the store, and I've been there multiple times, as I told you. You come into the store, and they'll greet you at the door, and then they'll make sure that they help you and find out whatever it is you need to know, whether it's about the different appliances, whether or not it's, you know, whether or not you can afford it, right? You've got a budget, I'm sure. You can share that with Mayor and Mayor, and they will help you out. So make Town Appliance your appliance headquarters. If you want to check out their website before you see them, you can, townappliance.com.
Have you been in an accident? The most important call you're going to make after the cops is to 877-OUCH-911. Why? Because I'm the only attorney who gives a 877-OUCH-911 or OUCHguide.com. Yoshua Beer.
Belganino Mangione here, and in Baltimore County, we're proud to support those who serve. The Commission on Veterans Affairs connects veterans and their families with vital services from education and employment to public programs and support services. Join us Saturday, November 8th at Towson University's West Village Commons for the Veterans and Family Celebration, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring our Veteran of the Year Awards at 11:30. Need help or want to get involved? Email us at veteransaffairs@baltimorecountymd.gov.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, we're going to wrap up this conversation about Mayor Scott and, of course, the Baltimore City Fire Department. I do hope that they get a call back from the mayor soon. I mean, you would think the mayor would be embarrassed, but he's not embarrassed. He's not embarrassed. Patrice in the text line says, Kid, the fire department must support the mayor's campaign if they wanted to have just the slightest hope of getting his support. Patrice, I could see that. I guess, you know, it was so bad. But, you know, you had Sheila Dixon, who, and they rightfully so, they said, look, she closed some firehouses. We didn't appreciate that. And I would think the residents didn't appreciate that either. And then the other option was Mayor Scott. I mean, it was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, you know, look. And you know that the city's not going to, they're not going to elect a Republican. So even though you had Shannon Wright running for mayor again, it's not like she was going to be elected, unfortunately, because that's not how they roll. I do have some other texts here that I want to read to you. Let's see, Randy, this is a very lengthy text message you got here. I'll just go ahead and read just a little bit of it. It says, "Hey, Cam, I know this is a little long." Oh, Randy, you know that. Okay. "But I think you'll get a kick out of it. Oppression is a term that is used by blacks in America to blame white male Republicans for all their woes. If black Democrats have been running the large cities for decades and there is oppression of black folks in those cities, then who is doing the oppressing?" You know what, Randy? And you're right. And that's what I try to point out time and time again. I mean, you can't find a Republican and you can barely find a white elected official. So who is keeping you down? Who's the boogeyman? Who is this person? Can you point him out? Is he in the room with you now? You know, it is. It's quite literally black leaders keeping black people down. They hate to admit it. They do not want to admit it. And this is why they don't debate us. This is why they don't come on my show. Because if I point this stuff out, then they've got nothing. They would be speechless. They've got nothing to say. And they've got no out on it. I saw a clip floating around social media yesterday. It was Michelle Obama talking about how most black women, you know, don't feel comfortable wearing their natural hair because there's so much racism in the country. What? Are you feeling racism up there in Martha's Vineyard? Huh, Michelle? Is that where you're feeling it? Come on. It really is ridiculous. Let's see. Joe from B-More, he said, "I'll listen to you talk about the mayor's Jeep when I hear you talk about the two $170 million private jets for Kristi Noem. And when I hear you talk about Cash Patel flying around to different hockey games." So here's the thing with the private jets and elected officials, Joe. And I know you didn't Google any of this because you never do. You send me these text messages, but you never do any kind of research. See, this is the difference between you and I, right? I wouldn't text a radio station if I didn't at least Google something. But when it comes to those individuals that are in the administration, whether it's Kristi or Cash Patel, it is required that they actually fly private. It's actually a requirement in many different cases, especially the FBI director. So you can Google all of this stuff and you can see when this was placed into law by Congress. And then you can text me back after you take a look at it, because I know you didn't take a look at it. That's the part that always gets me about you, Joe. Anywho, we're going to go on and we're going to move on as we come back from break to some other topics. But I did have another text here from Robert. Robert says, "How about when they care if someone overdoses in a poverty-stricken area because they can now get paid about $500 million for it by lawsuits? Also, has anyone seen the invoice for the mayor's Jeep to see if it's also been fireproofed?" You know, I don't think anybody's seen the invoice itself. I could go back and try to take a look at the report. But, Robert, that's a great question. It's a hypocrisy for me, you know, standing up there at a civil rights event and then talking about how he cares so deeply about his black brothers and sisters. Meanwhile, it's the black brothers and sisters that are hoping that he, you know, gives the fire department a call back. I mean, it really is. And, Robert, as you pointed out, those that overdosed at Penn North Avenue, they're also black. There might be a few white people out there. I don't know. I wasn't there. But this is just ridiculous. It is. It's all for show. It's all politics. All right, coming up next, let's go down to Capitol Hill.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Amazing is how President Trump describes his meeting with Chinese President Xi in South Korea, the meeting resulting in a number of trade and tariff deals cap Mr. Trump's week-long Asia trip. The president is directing the Pentagon to resume nuclear weapons tests after a 30-plus year hiatus. Called Operation Arctic Frost, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says it was a massive Biden Justice Department spy operation surveilling the activities of a host of conservative organizations and the GOP. Israel's military says Hamas has handed over two coffins said to hold the remains of deceased hostages turned over to the Red Cross in Gaza. Watching Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow is up just over 300 points, but the Nasdaq is 207 points lower, and the S&P is down 20. More details, SRN News Homes.com.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.real estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.real estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
It's the Ravens and Dolphins from Hard Rock Stadium tonight in Miami. Baltimore with very little margin for error the rest of the way. Meanwhile, the Dolphins with some confidence now. And according to Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, it's not easy going down to Miami.
We know it's going
to
be a big challenge down there. We've been down there before. We've been down there on Thursday night before, and we know how it is.
And then there's Lamar, who's watched his team sink without him for three straight games, but he never lost hope.
I got a great group of guys on my team. I feel like we always got a chance to make something happen, and we still do. We showed that Sunday.
Meanwhile, Dolphins star linebacker Bradley Chubb, expected to play, knows the challenge ahead for his Dolphins defense.
You got Lamar. You got Snoop, who did a good job filling in for him as well. So they're both mobile quarterbacks, so that's kind of like the plan we're going with. And, you know, just everybody being on their keys and making sure we play a sound and sound football.
Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. The full roster is available tonight. College football, can Maryland author a bounce-back game against the number 2 team in the nation? Well, we'll find out Saturday when the Terps welcome Indiana to College Park for homecoming. Trying to shake a 3-game conference losing streak, all by blowing fourth-quarter leads. Head coach Mike Locksley was asked if it's an us-against-the-world mentality on Saturday.
This is no disrespect to Indiana, but our opponent, much like what they do, the biggest opponent we're going to face is ourselves. And I think when you look at the way the last 3 games have gone, it's been a lot more us than it has been the opponent.
No team in college football has won a conference game by 50 or more points this season, other than Indiana. And after last week's hammering of UCLA, the Hoosiers have done it twice. Coming up in 30 minutes, an historic Game 6 last night in L.A. And that is Stein on Sports.
Selling with Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty, is simple. Receive an upfront written guarantee to sell your home for 100% of your asking price, or Vinny Steele will pay you the difference. Call, text, or visit VinnySteele.com today.
From the Fox 45 Weather Center, showers will gradually taper this afternoon as temperatures rise to the mid to upper 60s. It'll be breezy with wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight will start to clear out as temperatures fall to the 40s. Then for Halloween, expect a cool forecast as temperatures climb to the upper 50s and low 60s. It'll be breezy with wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Over the rest of the weekend, we stay dry with highs in the 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Jasmine Lomax for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Protect your liver and give it the support it deserves with Active Liver from New Nordic. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or at newnordicusa.com.
Hi, this is Rod Barowie. Be sure to listen to our top nationally ranked Safe Retirement Solutions radio show right here on WCBM every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 and Saturday morning from 11 to 12 exclusively on WCBM.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
My heart's never stopped. Got a good text here from Judy. Judy said, it seems like Johns Hopkins Hospital was able to demolish hundreds of old row homes when they were updating the hospital. The mayor needs to talk to the Hopkins group on how to demo quickly. They got it done, huh, Judy? See, you know, and Judy, thank you. That is a great text. Here's the thing. It's all intentional, right? This is intentional. If they wanted to get rid of the vacant homes, they could. If they wanted to improve the Baltimore Public Schools, they could. Right? As our caller pointed out, you're paying more per pupil each year than to send a student to Calvert Hall. If they wanted to improve the schools, they could. The money is there. Right? If they wanted to fix the crime situation, they could. Which, in turn, if they fix the crime situation, then you most likely wouldn't have any food deserts. Right? Because most of the food deserts are food deserts because of the crime situation. See, all these things they can do themselves. The budget which they have for the city, it is a very large budget. They had the ARPA funds, as people pointed out, $641 million. Mayor Scott's winning lawsuits left and right, getting more money into the city. If they wanted to fix these problems, they could. The problem is, they don't really care to fix the problems. They won't care to fix the problems of their black brothers and sisters, as Mayor Scott says, because then they can't exploit them anymore. These people are being exploited, and yet they're on the street telling everybody to vote blue no matter who. You're being used time and time again. And it's sad. I used to go and, you know, of course, knock on the doors and say, hey, just so you know, you know, school choice is an option out there. Maybe we could push for it. Or, you know, you tell them all these different things. And then you tell them that you're a Republican. And they're like, oh, my God, a Republican. Right? Or they'll bring up President Trump. But it's like the people you're voting for are using and abusing you every single day. They're making millions of dollars off of keeping you in despair and making sure that your child doesn't receive a decent enough education to be successful in life. That's who you're voting for. You're voting for the monster. You're voting for the person that's oppressing you. But because you were brainwashed and conditioned to think that they're not oppressing you because they have the same skin color, well, you remain in this stupid, terrible situation. And then when you point it out, then you're a traitor, you're a sellout, you're a coon, you're all these things, right? I'm a bedwinch, I'm this, I'm that. And it's like, no, these are the facts here. You can't dispute it. You can't debate it. And then it's funny because then they never call the show, they never come on the show because they know that they cannot debate it. They cannot win this argument. So they avoid us at all costs. Same thing, different day. Same thing, different day. All right, we are going to move on here. Looks like I did want to just mention, because I know I touched on it briefly, but just so you know, Republicans are calling on Governor Wes Moore to fire the Department of Human Service Secretary. I know Delegate Nino Mangione mentioned it a little bit yesterday when he was in with us. And this is because of the death of Kanaya Ward in the foster care system. I just wanted to touch on this really quickly because I wanted to give my two cents. You know, you can fire the DHS secretary. But just like Vincent Schiraldi, the DJS secretary, now you have Betsy Fox Tolentino, and she's continuing the same practices, you can fire these people all you want. They're just following the marching orders. So you can get rid of the DHS secretary, but that's not going to change what happens at DHS. You got rid of Vincent Schiraldi, but that doesn't change what happened at DJS, because what's happening at DJS is what Governor Wes Moore wants to happen at DJS. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know Republicans are really pushing for this, but I don't see why. You've already learned this lesson with the Department of Juvenile Services. I do have a caller here, Bill in Ellicott City. Bill, did you want to weigh in on Democrats in the black community?
Yes, I do. I tend to agree with you about what liberal politicians have been doing with the black community in all our inner cities. Ms. Klasik, I think maybe you're missing the point. I think the people in those communities believe, whether it's Brandon Scott, whether who it is, they believe that they're on the black community's side and Republicans are on the opposite side. And whether that's true or not, that's the way the black community perceives it.
Yeah, I guess, Bill, I'm just waiting for them to wake up. You know, will that ever happen is my question.
Well, that I cannot answer. I don't know, you know. But I don't know. I'm not black. But I don't live down in the inner city. But my guess, just from seeing how these guys are constantly reelected, you know, black people down in the city, they believe that Brandon Scott or of his ilk, whatever, are actually fighting for them. That's their perception, right or wrong.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right, Bill. I appreciate you. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And look, I've told you before, I got people in my own family. I mean, I talk about this all the time. They don't want me to talk about it. And of course, you know, they always say, Cam, will you come over for Christmas dinner? Do not bring up politics. And then I walk in with my Trump hat. No, I just... It always comes up because, you know, and this is the unfortunate part, and it's not really unfortunate for me. Like, I love to debate these kinds of things, especially with family. But it's unfortunate because, of course, everybody's talking about, you know, their occupation. They talk about what they do, their hobbies, you know, things that they've been busy with. And my, you know, what I do every single day has to do with politics, right? Whether I'm speaking at an event or I'm here at WCBM or yesterday I had to run down to D.C. I did four different shows yesterday. Four different shows. So it's like, you know, that's my life. That's my entire life. So if you ask me how I've been, the conversation goes right into politics. You know, that's just how it is. And so, you know, like I said, I tried to talk to my family about it. They can't see it. And then when something comes up, like, you know, the whole thing with the energy crisis, I think I told you guys about this multiple times. You know, I have the conversation with them about the energy crisis and the fact that, you know, a lot of this is because of Democrats in Annapolis and Governor Wes Moore and the terrible decisions. And then you point it out. You're like, hey, remember when we had this conversation and you told me that this wouldn't happen, and see now that it happened? And then they go, I don't remember saying that, right? So then you're like, well, I guess next time I got to get out a recorder or something. What do I got to do? I got to voice record you next time? Sheesh. Now you don't remember saying that, huh? All right. Sure. All right. You know what? Speaking of saying something, Senator John Thune, who really, for the most part, he's a fairly quiet guy. Senator John Thune was not quiet yesterday on Capitol Hill. He's had enough of the government shutdown, and so he's now calling his colleagues out because, if you missed it, the Senate Democrats, they failed to pass the CR again yesterday. And so now, even though you've got a lot of them out there grandstanding saying how important it is to keep the SNAP benefits going and how important it is to get federal workers their paychecks, they voted against the CR again. Had they voted for it, all of these things would be in place. Take a listen.
And we've tried to do that 13 times. And you voted no 13 times. This isn't a political game. These are real people's lives that we're talking about. And you all have just figured out, 29 days in, that, oh, there might be some consequences. There are people running out of money. Yeah, we're 29 days in. And they've done their best to make sure that a lot of these programs are funded. But at some point, the government runs out of money. 13 times. People over here voted to fund SNAP. 13 times they voted to fund WIC. My aching back. Finally realized this thing has consequences. Well, you know what? What Democrats are doing here, they're making plans to keep the shutdown going.
And that was Senator John Thune to his colleagues. And that's the plan. They're going to keep the shutdown going as long as they can. Now, I gave it 30 days. I gave it 30 days, okay? So that means by November 1st, they're going to have to pass this thing. If not, then yes, you will see a disruption in the SNAP benefits. And there are going to be a lot of upset people. There's some videos going viral right now. Don't know if you saw them. Beyond the Baltimore police officer video chasing the guy down. There are other videos because there are people that receive SNAP benefits now threatening to loot stores. And they're actually making videos and posting them online. I don't know if this is a new TikTok challenge or what have you, but they're all over the place. And I just, of course, I look at it and shake my head. And like, wow, you would rather make a video saying that you're going to loot stores than go out and get an extra job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or get a job. That's what you would rather do. That's what you would rather do. You'd rather risk getting caught and going to jail than getting a job and making sure that you could feed your families. And, you know, that's what this is about. This is all political. A lot of it has to do with Chuck Schumer and the establishment Democrats trying to hold on to their seats because the progressives, they're on their way. They're about to kick them out of those seats. And look, I don't feel bad for them. They should have never allowed this progressive wing of the party to begin with. The moderate Democrats allowed them to take over. The AOCs, the Jasmine Crockett's, the Ilhan Omar's, they slowly began taking over the entire party, and they took them down a road that the moderate Democrats should have never went down. They should have stood up and said, look, we're not doing this. We're not doing drag queen story time. We're not, you know, the whole thing has been a nightmare for the Democrat Party. And the logical Democrats have been watching on the sidelines thinking, oh, well, it's not that bad. You know, having men and women's locker rooms to change and, you know, allowing them to play in sports and dominating the sports and taking trophies and scholarships away. It's not that bad. That's what's been happening here, right? I mean, the stupid bills we saw in Annapolis. Trying to put condoms in vending machines at elementary schools. The moderate Democrats, sure, it didn't pass the Senate, but don't forget, it passed the House. In Annapolis. Somehow that made it out of committee. And so, yeah, the Democrats have a problem, okay, within their own party that they're going to have to deal with. But instead of dealing with it and figuring it out and putting their foot down against the AOCs of their party, they're dealing with it by holding the government hostage. And people are going to remember this. This is a big deal. This is much different than some of the other things that we've seen. This is going to come up, I'm sure, for when it comes to midterm elections, because the primaries are not too far away. Look at it. We're going into November right now. And the energy bills are about to go up again. Whew. The Democrats have a big problem. The Francis Scott Key Bridge still sitting in the water. I don't know what you guys are going to do. I don't really care, but I don't know what you're going to do. But I appreciate Senator John Thune for pointing it out. I also wanted to note what's going on with Arctic Frost. I know we didn't get a ton of time to talk about it today, but I love when you guys call in. And look, I know you have other options. You can listen to so many other shows, and I appreciate you listening to WCBM and, of course, Kim Klasick Live. And if you ever miss any of the shows, don't forget, you can go to WCBM.com. They're archived there, and we're on all podcast platforms. So we're on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn, all those great things. So you can take the show wherever you go. But I wanted to touch on Arctic Frost because one of the four shows I did yesterday was with Harry Coles, and we were talking about Jack Smith, and we were talking about the fact that now this is all coming out that there was clearly a data breach. Now, how far it went, I don't know, but, you know, the Democrats have been projecting for a long time and basically saying, accusing Republicans of doing what they've been doing this entire time. And I mean, I think many of us knew that already, especially after the Russian collusion hoax. But I want you to take a listen and we'll talk.
Let me just drop some names that popped up in yesterday's document dump, by the way. It was Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman. And then there were other potentials, like you mentioned, Ed Martin, Jeff Rosen, Bernard Carrick, who sadly is no longer with us. They were all listed in this new document dump as well.
That's the former New York police commissioner.
Yes, and he was working hand in hand with Rudy Giuliani during their state-to-state election challenge back in 2020. So I'm sure it had to do with that. They weren't happy that Rudy Giuliani was hired by the president to go out there and try to defend him on his election stance and all of this. And Bernie Carrick was by their side and all that. So that's what they were doing. They were going after the attorneys. And this is just not about President Trump. Again, I want to make this a bigger picture, too. Yes, this was a wide net that they were trying to cast here, but they want to make sure moving forward that if you ever have, as a candidate, want to challenge an election, that you will never find a lawyer willing to do just that.
Well, Norm Eisen and all of them, when Trump got reelected, said, any lawyers work for Trump, anybody, we're going to take your license and put you in prison when we're back in.
Yeah.
So they're openly like thugs. Hey, you Americans, you sit down and you shut up or it's over for you.
All right. And so that was InfoWars. You probably noticed. Everybody knows Alex Jones' voice when you hear it. But they were talking about what's coming out here as far as this list of individuals that were targeted by Jack Smith. And a lot of them were looking into the 2020 elections, right? So Rudy Giuliani, as I mentioned with Casey and Company, with Sean Casey, I mentioned State Senator of Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano, because, you know, Sean was right about this. Doug was working on it in Pennsylvania. And so they were attempting to monitor all of these individuals. Now, here's where it gets a little bit confusing. Because I guess in some cases, they were looking at metadata. And then in some cases, I guess, you know, this is what Senator Ted Cruz was talking about yesterday, where AT&T was contacted and they were trying to get some of the phone records. So if that's the case, and see, this is a difference. With metadata, I guess they don't need a warrant for metadata. Right. This is, you know, one of those new things. They don't need that. But if it was for the phone records, you would need a warrant for the phone records. And so that's why AT&T questioned what was going on. And so I just want to, you know, make those points there, because I would think as they continue this investigation into what Jack Smith did with others, I would think those that were attempting to get the phone records, I would imagine they're going to be called in for a hearing. Now, are these people ever going to be held accountable? That's always the you know, million-dollar question. We never see that happen, right? We never see it happen. That's why sometimes I don't even give my hopes up anymore. I don't even give my... Because it's like, you know, then what? Then what? I mean, we can see that, you know, the Trump administration, whether it's his campaign, whether it was people close to him. We saw this during the first term. Remember, we found out all the stuff that was on Anthony Weiner's laptop. There's always been so much going on. President Obama, you know, spying on Trump Towers. And then President Obama, in case you missed it, he actually made a statement. He said, you know, this feels like revenge. When are we going to stop doing this? We can't go back and forth like this. Because you know what I think? I think it's getting closer to his house. I think it's getting closer to his house. I think that if you continue to dig, you will find people like Obama. You will find Hillary Clinton. I really, truly, in my heart, believe that. This is my opinion, okay? This is not WCBM's opinion. This is Kim Klasick's opinion. I think that it, if you continue to dig and continue to look and see who is behind, the mastermind behind all of this, I think you would find their names. I do. And so, of course, now he's speaking out, saying that this has gone too far. I bet, buddy. I bet. All right, when we get back, I did want to just touch on standard time. This is a big question of the day. Go ahead and take part in the poll if you haven't already. If you have the app, you can easily take the poll question brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. And then you can also do it at WCBM.com. And it's about the time because, you know, of course, this is coming back up and President Trump made another post about it. But the question is, should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? All right, so go ahead and vote in the poll. I'm not going to read the numbers here just yet. Go ahead and vote, and then when we come back, we can get into the details of it. I also wanted to just read this to you. Again, this came out of Politico, let's see, 22 hours ago. Tom Cotton, you know, Senator Tom Cotton, blocks Trump-backed effort to make daylight saving time permanent. It says Senator Tom Cotton wasn't fast enough in 2022 to block Senate passage of legislation that would make daylight saving time permanent. 3 years later, he wasn't about to repeat that same mistake. So the Arkansas Republican was on hand Tuesday afternoon to thwart a bipartisan effort on the chamber floor to pass a bill that would put an end to changing the clocks twice a year, including this coming Sunday. It says here, this is from Senator Tom Cotton himself, if permanent daylight savings time becomes the law of the land, it will again make winter a dark and dismal time for millions of Americans. And so that's where Tom Cotton, sits on this. And, of course, he was going back and forth with Senator Rick Scott from Florida because, he wanted to advance the bill. And so I wonder, a lot of this might be just kind of where you live, too, right? Whether or not you want to see this happen. Well, anyways, we get back, we'll look at our polling results, and then I'll read some of your text messages that came in regards to standard time as well.
Today, we're speaking with Gil Kuda of Aegis Capital. According to Retirement Paycheck Survey conducted online by RBC Wealth Management, published February 1st, 2024, only 53% of Americans approaching retirement understand how their assets will provide a paycheck in retirement. How may an annuity be part of a plan to generate retirement income?
An annuity may be part of a combination of investments to pay income for someone's retirement.
And how should an investor consider an annuity?
There are many options to choose from. Be aware annuities have early surrender charges and are long-term investments. Investors should take a long-term focus.
And how is the income paid?
Each annuity has certain income provisions as to when you may begin to take income. Most plans allow monthly distributions. Some contracts offer lifetime income benefits. It's important to remember that guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability.
And how may our listeners receive more information?
Simply dial 410-230-1820 to request a free information kit.
Simply dial 410-230-1820.
Securities offered through Aegis Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability. Bonus credits may be offset by higher fees and reduced benefits. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investment products are not FDIC insured. They lose value and are not bank guaranteed.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM, because when we stand together, we thrive together.
The Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, the Arctic Frost list of conservatives surveilled has grown dramatically. Jack Smith's goal was to wipe MAGA off the map and jail MAGA leaders like Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and Rudy Giuliani. Soviet-style stuff. Listen noon to 3.
You just can't win, and I'm here to tell you, you guilty as sin. Here comes the judge. Here comes
the
judge.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. And I mentioned the metadata earlier, just so you guys know, because Christopher in Kaysville asked, can anyone get metadata without a warrant? Christopher, yes. So remember, this is what happened with January 6th. Remember that? Remember they were getting like the private messages and all that for the January 6th prisoners? It's so crazy that they were even taken into custody. Still, it's so crazy today. But, you know, here's what it says here, Christopher Kaysville. It says, approved law enforcement agencies can, in fact, access metadata without a warrant. It says, except for specific case of metadata relating to journalism. That's the only exception there. So, yes, approved law enforcement agencies can access metadata at any point in time. So if you have a police officer and they suspect you of, you know, doing some kind of crime and then possibly talking about it in your messengers, you know, on Facebook, the police officer can then contact Facebook and they will hand over your metadata. They'll hand over your information to your messenger. I know it sounds crazy, but that's where it is. And that's why a lot of people say that, you know, those laws need to change. Because it is, you know, similar to accessing your phone records, which, in fact, you need a warrant for. So anyways, I know this is probably going to escalate sometime next week. We'll see more. I know that you've got a couple of members of Congress that have been talking about it at length. If you can imagine, Senator Ted Cruz, who's also on the list, he is very upset about the situation. So next week, we'll hear more about what, you know, which actions they can take moving forward. I am not certain. And again, a lot of this is because, you know, it's kind of up in the air. Because if they ended up getting some of the stuff through metadata, are they really in trouble? I don't know. I don't know. As I look at it, I think that they obviously were spying on these individuals because they thought most likely they were getting closer to figuring out if there were truly shenanigans in the 2020 election cycle. I did want to go back to, let's see. So, I think, is the question, is it turned around, Brian, the producer? Hold on a second. I think what's going on here is daylight savings time is standard time, okay? We are on daylight savings time now. Brian, the producer, don't laugh at me. I didn't write the question. You don't laugh at me, okay? So here's the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Oh boy. It says, should we keep changing our clocks or leave them at standard time? No, that's correct. That is the correct question. Okay, I thought, see, I logged out and I logged back in. I was afraid because I saw a text here that said it was opposite. Yeah, do you like falling back in? No, we were not going to do that. Let's see. So we have 14% of you say change the clock. And then 86% of you say leave it at standard time, which we're in standard time. I think that there are a lot of people that do want to leave it at standard time, which we fall back. Okay? So I don't know. To me, it doesn't bother me. I don't really mind either way. I know that many people in the text line said that they don't like it. But for me, it doesn't matter. I'm just mad that it's cold outside. I don't really care what time it is. Anyways, I appreciate you guys weighing in as always. We'll have lots to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Halloween. Brian, the producer, you better wear a costume. Thank you for a great show as always. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Hey, it's Sean Casey. If your kitchen feels more 1990 than 2025, it's time to call AS Builders and Home Improvement. They specialize in kitchen makeovers that are built to last. Open concepts, custom cabinets, gorgeous countertops, and more. The team at AES makes the process smooth, honest, and on time. Make your kitchen the heart of your home again. Visit them at aeshome.us. That's aeshome.us, and tell them I sent you to get a special discount on any remodel or new kitchen. AES, experience, integrity, results.
If you're not happy, we're not done. MHIC 37105.
Delegate Nino Mangione here, and in Baltimore County, we're proud to support those who serve. The Commission on Veterans Affairs connects veterans and their families with vital services from education and employment to public programs and support services. Join us Saturday, November 8th at Towson University's West Village Commons for the Veterans and Family Celebration, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring our Veteran of the Year Awards at 11:30. Need help or want to get involved?